Usually, what is best for America is also best for Israel and vice versa. But on occasions, for example, an American president must make a decision that does not, in effect, give the Israelis a blank check. And one example of that is a decision that I made. I decided early on in our administration that we were going to seek good relations with Egypt and others of Israel's neighbors. Many of my Israeli friends didn't like that because they wanted a special relationship with Israel and Israel only. But I have always said that Israel's interests are better served to have the United States a friend of Israel's neighbors and potential enemies than to leave a vacuum which the Soviet Union would fill.
Netanyahu, in power for 25 years off and on, and not looking too good, I would add, with his heart problems and prostate cancer and the rest of it, you're like, great, hope he dies. Israel's so radical now, the rest of the Likudnits are even worse. He's a moderate.
Since October 7th, all Jewish organizations in the United States together have spent upwards of $600 million fighting this avalanche of anti-Semitism. I have one question. Has it helped? Has all this money stopped? Even slowed down the hatred against us? The answer is no.
You hear a text message. I'm a red-blooded Texan. I always supported Israel, but I can't stand what they're doing. I'm turning against Israel. And then you trace the address to some basement in Pakistan, you know. And that's something that has hurt us badly.
So that whole thing about bot farms did not air. Okay, the version that aired on TV included some of what we just played, but it was combined with a section from the very end of the interview, which focused on Israel's tactics to respond to the sentiment shift, not the shift itself.
Israel is besieged on the media front, on the propaganda front, and we're not done well with the propaganda war. No, we don't like foreign countries controlling us. We don't like paying for it. We don't like watching civilians murder. We don't like all over Israeli TV people bragging about murder and how funny it is and how kill the kids. People don't like this, and they don't like paying for it. Just like pro-life folks don't like paying for killing kids, okay? Netanyahu, that's why Israel isn't like, because of you.
Netanyahu attributes the reputational harm to Israel almost entirely to social media, which he calls the eighth front of the war.
Because it's this. Yeah, this is yours, right? Mm-hmm. You're not immune either, because you can penetrate this machine. You can penetrate this little instrument, and you can say about Major Garrett anything you want, and I can paint you as a monster. And if I say it often enough, enough people will believe it.
Is it your belief, Mr. Prime Minister, that nothing that Israel has done, tactically or strategically, has made no mistakes either in Gaza or the West Bank that have in their own way contributed to this negative impression of Israel, whether it's on social media or someplace else?
No, of course. Look, it's war.
And we see the atrocity. So I guess it is true that social media, we're able to see this now. And blowing up the Christian churches and the desecrating whatever's left. I mean, it's out of, and blowing up tens of thousands of homes and hundreds of churches in Lebanon and celebrating them. But now Netanyahu says to draw down to zero the American financial support. He said he wants military partnerships, okay? But here is Netanyahu on the war's over when he says,
is the war with Iran over? And if it isn't, who will decide when it is?
I think it accomplished a great deal, but it's not over because there's still nuclear material, enriched uranium that has to be taken out of Iran. There's still enrichment sites that have to be dismantled. There's still proxies that Iran supports. There are ballistic missiles that they still want to produce. Now, we've degraded a lot of it, but all of that is still there.
Not just saying the war ends when he says, not just saying, oh, people are mad because of social media. No, they're mad because they see what you're doing. They're mad because they see the atrocities. They see the Israelis beating up and killing Christians. They see the homes being blown up by the thousands every week in Lebanon. They see the Israeli ministers on TV bragging, we're going to kill the kids too. And next is Turkey. And we're going to get all of Lebanon and greater Israel and all the megalomania going on. And we control America. Ha, ha, ha. I mean, the only thing you don't have is flying monkeys and a witch flying around on a broom here.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster, and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just sea moss and shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it, and get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday, the 13th of May, 2026. We got a lot of stuff to cover. We have an absolutely giant show today. Obviously, we're going to cover Sebastian Gorka, the new counterterrorism strategy from the White House that I think will take in totality, along with the building of the data centers and the establishing Palantir as the operating system of the New World Order. I think this is just part of a wider scheme to enslave humanity that, unfortunately, Trump seems fully engaged in now, willfully or not. We're also going to talk about, of course, some of the bombshell revelations today, where the CIA is apparently blaming Anthony Fauci for the cover-up of the COVID lab leak scenario. A little ironic, because the person that actually ran the lab leak himself told people who later became whistleblowers that it was the CIA that put him up to it. So we'll try to untangle that tangled web of deception. We'll talk about ticks, of course, and some more very interesting developments there. It's not just America that is suffering under the tick, I don't even know what to call it, evolution, the plague, the attack. Apparently Russia is experiencing a tick problem where the ticks have gone insane, and instead of just waiting in the grass to bite you, will actually try to chase you down. It's crazy. I've seen videos of it. We'll get to that as well. I was going to have Chud the Builder on at 4 p.m. If you don't know who Chud the Builder is, we've had him on before, and he went viral and went viral several times for basically filming himself interacting with African-American people. And, well, he's made a career out of it. And as of about an hour before the show started, Chud the Builder shot a man who attacked him outside of a courthouse in Clarksville and accidentally grazed himself in the process. Before it escalated, he asked the man if he was going to chimp out, and the man then walked up and sucker punched him. It's unclear if the man survived, and we actually have more information about this. We'll bring you the latest and bring you whatever develops in this. And I just sent him a text and said, hey, man, I understand if our interview's off at four today, but if you did want to come on, be a pretty good story, I think. I think people want to hear about exactly what happened. And I don't know. I'm a bit torn between my, you know, journalistic instincts. Okay, it looks like somebody's got the video. If y'all can grab that video, I would like to see it. So I'm sort of torn between, like, I want this interview. I want to get the interview and, you know, talk to him about it. At the same time, I'm like, you probably shouldn't be talking to anybody. So I don't even know if we'll have him on, because obviously there's a lot of people out to get him in multiple ways. And I imagine, I don't, you know where exactly this happened. I guess somewhere in Tennessee, you could very well have a overambitious DA that wants to make his name out of this and wants to send Chud to jail for a long time. So, I think for his safety, maybe we'll just call off the interview either way, even if he wants to come on. I don't know if that's the best idea. As you know, everything you say can and will be used against you. So maybe we need to just make sure he's not going to be charged with something before he comes on and tells us the story. He did tell the story, and I believe it's, is clip number 9, him, saying what happened, because we have a video of him saying what happened. And, I mean, this whole thing's been crazy. And to be honest with you, part of why I wanted to get him on is I was like, dude, you're gonna get shot. Like, I'm not sure how much longer this can go on, because he would just go out and walk around and people would come up to him and threaten him. And I mean, we got a lot of videos, to get to about like the hatred that he inspires and why he's doing what he's doing. I'd love for him to talk for himself, but like I said, maybe he might have to talk to a lawyer or something before he comes on, just so he can know what he can and can't talk about. But here we have the clip ready. This is, Chud the Builder on X. You can follow him at Chud the Builder. Talking about what happened earlier today when he was involved in a shooting. Let's watch. Oh, no. It's a different one. It's a completely different one. No, that's another example. See, this is the thing. I wanted to have him on because he is... that's the wrong video, crew. No, there's a video... that was clip 9. There's a video of him explaining what happened, if you can find that one. No, that was another guy who's like... an insane person. I saw people calling him a meth head. He certainly seems like one. And he, I guess, stole Chud the Builder's hat yesterday. And then Chud was trying to eat at a restaurant and people were causing problems. And so, the owner of the restaurant was like, you're not allowed to eat here. And Chud was like, well, I just ordered. And the guy was like, ah, get out of here. You can't eat here. So he left. And then they wanted to like charge him with theft for dining and dashing, even though he was the one being harassed and got kicked out of the restaurant. So, you know, he's been under attack, but, you know, in really a concerted way for a little while. So I really wanted to get him on because I had a feeling something like this was going to happen. And in part, it kind of proves that what he's doing, you know, it's like, are we not capable of like hearing words we don't like? And the reason I think this is actually an important thing to talk about. It's not just like, oh, he's a rabble rouser. He just goes and, you know, tries to get people angry and then films their reaction. You have example after example after example these days, but I can think of one in particular where a man was stabbed in San Francisco, I believe, by a homeless person. After being stabbed, he called that person the N-word. The person who stabbed him was not charged for the crime. The person who said the N-word was. After you get stabbed, you can't insult somebody. What are we, Europe? What are we, 12-year-old girls in Europe? We're not allowed to say bad names about our assaulters. So, like, this whole idea of, like, this word has some sort of mystical power. And we've seen it over and over again, where it's just like some black guy kills a white guy, and afterwards it's like, well, he called me the N-word. And the court's like, understandable. You're free to go, sir. And it's like, so you can just say that? You have no proof of it, no recording of it. It's just like, oh, you killed somebody? Say that he called you the N-word, and then you'll be free to go. And I don't know how we reverse this trend, but certainly I'm in favor of anybody who's standing up against it in a powerful way, because I don't want to live in a country where somebody pretending that you said a word or thinking that you said a word means that you deserve the death penalty. That's insane. So here's Chud the Builder explaining exactly what happened to him earlier today.
I walked up to them because they're pointing at me. Uh-huh. They're laughing. They're pointing at me, and I said, "What's up, guys? How y'all doing?" I said, "Y'all like the new suit?" He said, "Walk away from me." I walked away from him. He came back up to me. He literally said, "I have PTSD. I feel like I'm in." He said, "You see me?" Started wailing on me even after I had to defend myself by shooting him. He's still wailing on me.
Where's your weapon at?
They have everything.
What weapon is that right now?
I believe that's it. Is that yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's talking to him right now.
Oh, no, you guys are good to do your thing.
Okay.
He has a graze. I call it a graze to the left shoulder, left arm. He has slight abrasion right here on his head. Okay. Maybe some scrapes. Slight, lightheaded.
So that was him recounting it, and obviously from police body cam or something. So he apparently was out in front of a courthouse. A guy came up to him, attacked him, started punching him. He pulled out a gun, shot the guy grazed himself in the combat. Apparently he was live streaming at the time, so I'm surprised that video has not been put out. But he's sort of routinely involved in these physical altercations because he walks around and says the no-no word. He says the bad word. And unfortunately for us, some people can't handle that. And it is unfortunate. So I'll keep you up to date and let you know if we hear from him. But we may have to postpone. We may have to postpone our interview with Chud the Builder while he recovers from the... And I guess maybe he was going to the courthouse because of the charge previously. Just crazy. So that's happening. So, yeah, that's what's going on here. Our guests are involved in shootouts. So anyway, we'll move on here. And like I said, we just have so very, very, very much to talk about. Obviously, we started the show with a Bound report. You can find and share that Bound report. Like you can find all of our streams, like you can find all of our articles, like you can find everything that you once used to go to InfoWars to find. Now you can find it at alexjoneslive.com, including the Bound report. Israel's war with social media. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu recently blamed social media for the worldwide backlash against his nation's military actions against Palestine, Lebanon, Iran, and other nations. And we're going to be talking a lot about that today. The Eighth Front War, of course, as it's known. And yes, the attack against Thomas Massey is a part of this. This is Tiffany Cianci saying, what if I told you a group of creators could out-influence $1 million political ad blitz by AIPAC and their billionaires? I'm about to prove that we can do exactly that in the 4th District, Kentucky, as we fight for at Kentucky Massey for Kentucky. I'm calling on every creator who's sick of watching money control everything to meet me in Kentucky the 14th through the 20th of this month. Let's show them what real influence and integrity looks like. And I absolutely love this, and we do need more of this. It's not enough for those of us who do this for a living to just talk about this. We need to be leading the activism to actually tangibly fight back against the big money influence in places like Kentucky. And I don't know what to think of the polls. Here's my thing. I don't know how Thomas Massey could be unseated, even with all of the money poured in. If you remember, Donald Trump came after Thomas Massey in the last election and endorsed his opponent and told people not to vote for him. He still got something like 75-80% of the vote. So I wouldn't, you know, expect a political attack like this to really make that big of a dent in Thomas Massey's support. The polls, however, show him actually behind the literal puppet, the AI puppet, Ed Gowrain, his opponent, who has been caught using AI captions on his social media post by accidentally including the AI, you know, framing of the response in his post. So, like, actually not a real person. It's unfortunate. And he was picked for, you know, obviously having a stellar CV. You know, he's like a Navy SEAL for a long time. He's like a farmer. On paper, he seems like a great candidate. But that being said, it's Thomas Massey. I mean, how many congressmen's names do you even know? There's 435 congressmen. I think if you asked Americans to name 10 of them, a lot of people would name Thomas Massey because he's gotten stuff done, because he has been a champion for his state, and because he has been the target of this attempt by foreign influence to unseat him in favor of a literal puppet, a pay-to-play AI creation. And then there's the fact that, like, yesterday or the day before, there's a Me Too scandal about Thomas Massey that just nobody believes. The woman is, like, totally discredited, apparently. She's apparently done this before to other people. It's also like, do you really think we're going to buy this? We get it. We get it. AIPAC hates Thomas Massey. Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, they hate Thomas Massey. We know. Oh, and now he's being accused, even though it's Thomas frickin' Massey. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? It reeks of desperation. So that's why I don't necessarily believe the poll numbers that I'm seeing, because if Ed Gowrain was really that far ahead, they wouldn't be pulling out all the stops and acting so desperate to try to do just absolutely anything to stop Thomas Massey. which apparently is what they're doing. At least that's what it seems to me when you have this ridiculous Me Too story shopped around days before the election is meant to happen. I actually want to go to an ad from Thomas Massie, and then we'll play that clip from Tiffany Cianci, as I know she's a part of a lot of people going to Kentucky these days. Folks, we're so close. We're getting things settled. We're getting things hammered out here. You'll notice I have a new computer. I will be able to call out the correct clips from now on. I'm literally setting up my computer during the commercial breaks because this is how new it is, because we are just trying to rebuild after having been struck down by the show trials. So I don't know if we'll actually be able to make it to Kentucky, but we will certainly be in contact with the people there, and give us 6 months or so, and we will absolutely once again be hitting the road and engaged in this type of stuff, because the dangerous thing about Alex Jones and the dangerous thing about InfoWars and now the Alex Jones Network is not the fact that we talk about stuff. Obviously, the information is important. This knowledge is important. Getting attention on these facts is crucial to our mission, but in service of activism, in service of getting involved. It's not enough just to know this stuff. We have to get involved. We have to be the ones leading the marches. We have to be the ones going to places like Kentucky in order to try to shore up support for Thomas Massie, because this is a bellwether. It's a litmus test for the nation. Let's go now to this pro-Massie ad talking about the people funding his opposition. Let's watch.
Eddie Galrine is bought and paid for by the LGBTQ mafia. Far-left trans activist billionaire Paul Singer is bringing his trans madness to Kentucky. Singer is spending millions to remove Massie. The gay mafia will own woke Eddie.
And over a period of time, I and my team became quite friendly with legacy gay rights groups, including hardcore Democrats.
Paul Singer is a major pro-gay, pro-trans activist who works with far-left hardcore Democrats.
And so I became very interested in being a funder of gay rights groups.
Galrine doesn't share our Kentucky values. He is with the weirdos. And if Galrine wins, the weirdos take over. On May 19th, say no to woke Eddie Galrine and his billionaire club of LGBTQ weirdos. Re-elect Thomas Massie for Kentucky, for America. Restore Freedom Pack is a project of Hold the Line Pack. Hold the Line Pack is responsible for the contents of this advertisement.
Reject the freaks and the weirdos. I love it. But don't you get it? Paul Singer is just complying or comporting himself with the modern dichotomy. Just ask Sebastian Gorka. The only thing that makes you Republican is support of Israel. That's it. Doesn't matter. You can be a hardcore transgender activist. You can be Alan Dershowitz. You can be a lifelong Democrat stalwart who believes in welfare and open borders and transgenderism and everything else. But if you support Israel, you're a Republican. And if you don't, you're not. We'll get into the Sebastian Gorka crap in just a little bit. But that is exactly what Sebastian Gorka is saying. I don't even know if these guys are on the right. Why? Because they don't support Israel. Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes are on the right, you idiots. But that's not really what they mean anymore. They're trying to redefine it. So it just makes sense that Paul Singer is now a, conservative activist, even though what you just saw, it doesn't make any sense. But he supports Israel, and that's the only thing that matters. So there you go. Let's go now to Tiffany Cianci at The Vino Mom on X. That's The Vino Mom. Hashtag creators for Massie. Hashtag Kentucky Surge. Hashtag We Ride for Massie. A lot of content creators, really of all stripes, who care about personal liberty, are riding to Kentucky to make a difference. Y'all have the video?
This is everything wrong with American politics today. This is what happens when a politician serves the interests of his voters, constituents, and the American people instead of the interests of billionaires and their pedophile friends. But I have a plan to stop it, and it's going to take every single one of us, and we're going to start right now because Thomas Massie needs our help, and he needs it today. Story time. 8 days ago, I was sitting at a lunch table in Washington, D.C., across from Congressman Thomas Massie, when he pulled out his phone, showed me a tweet, and asked me, "Miss Yancey, did you mean it when you sent this?" The tweet in question, "I will fly to Kentucky and bring every follower I have across every platform to fight for Rep. Thomas Massey. POTUS has grossly misjudged how done the citizenry is with bought and paid for politics." And the answer I gave him, "Absolutely, Congressman, what do you need?" He said, "That is exactly what I need. Can you help me?" Now, if you're not familiar with what's going on in the 4th District of Northern Kentucky, right now, Representative Thomas Massey, an incumbent that boasts the highest approval rating of any member of Congress, according to voters across the United States, is currently fending off a challenge from a primary candidate named Ed Gallrain, a guy nobody's ever heard of before. But Trump said that was fine because he just needed a warm body and Kentucky voters would vote the way he told them to. Now, all of that would probably seem fine if it was just a regular primary, but it's not. What's actually happening right now is that in retribution for Thomas Massey fighting so hard to release the Epstein files and back the victims of Epstein's crimes, these three billionaires right here that have zero ties to Kentucky have spent nearly $13 million in one of the smallest districts in the U.S. that currently has a primary to try to unseat Thomas Massey for refusing to protect their pedophile friends. Now, Representative Thomas Massey is very popular, so he's actually raised more than almost any member of Congress. And still, these three Israeli donors that have no ties to Kentucky are outspending him 4-1, drowning and flooding this district in ads that are using deepfakes to misrepresent words, make up statements he's never said, lie about him, knowing he doesn't have the money to fight back. You see, AIPAC regularly brags about the fact that they have financially supported 80% of winners in congressional races, and I've also seen them congratulate themselves for up to 90% in prior election years. But at the beginning, I promised that I had a plan and that I was going to stop this corruption. I am done with billionaires buying elections and overriding the will of voters. And so today, I am calling on you to tag every creator you know that is within driving distance of Kentucky. Now, that's a big swath, okay? Within 5 hours, you've got Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama. You've got Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, New York, Delaware, Pennsylvania. I need you to tag every creator you know on this app, and I need you to tell them that we ride at dawn for Thomas Massey, because that's exactly what we need to do. I want every major creator that is available on this app, no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, if you are against corruption in politics and you want to make a difference, I need you here in Northern Kentucky at the Cincinnati Line. And I need you here by Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Those are our three early days. Early voting is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 14th, 15th, and 16th. And final voting day is Tuesday, the 19th. And so if you are within driving distance, I need you in Kentucky. I'm already here waiting for you.
All right, so that's Tiffany Cianci. Follow her on X at the Vino Mom. Voting starts tomorrow, folks. So tomorrow, Thursday through Saturday. Please share this content. If you're in Kentucky, get out to vote. Go knock on doors. Go hand out flyers. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's not enough to talk about this stuff. We have to fight back if we want to defeat the influence of these foreign billionaires and support a real American hero. Stay with us, folks. We're on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been running a series of flash sales for only 2 days. And the last sale ended last night, Saturday night, like I said. I'm announcing this live on air Sunday night, the 10th of May, 2026. So you have 2 days through Monday into Tuesday to get a massive buy one, get one free deal at our sponsor that owns the Alex Jones Network. Keep us on air, thealexjonesstore.com. And these products really work. Obviously, I want to be the most accurate news. I want our products to be the best. So you take them and you love them and you get blown away. Now, let me tell you about Shilajit. You can go research it. Even top scientists don't know how it happens. It's millions of years old. It's mainly in the Himalayas and a few other mountains, like the Carpathian Mountains and others. When they have a big earthquake, it will be revealed, and it's like this black tar inside the rocks. And it's full of all these insane peptides that just do amazing things for men and women and stamina and energy and libido and everything else. We have private labeled at thealexjonesstore.com the top-rated brand in the United States over a year ago. So when you get our Shilajit, you are getting the top-rated brand, private labeled by us, at a price a little bit lower than it's sold at Whole Foods and in stores around the country. This is, we don't reinvent the wheel. Most of our products are just a private label of whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the best. That's what we go out, we get, we private label it. You get it from us, it funds the operation. So, if you've never taken our show, Jesus about last year, it's got 5-star ratings, 90%+ reorder rate, galaxystore.com. Buy one Shilajit naturally flavored gummies, pineapple, get one Shilajit gummies bottle free. It's a huge bottle full of these delicious gummies. Just take one a day. It's ultra concentrated, the highest quality Shilajit, and a bunch of other super nutrients as well. Also, ultimate creatine. Not all creatine is created equal. Everybody knows it's great for muscles. It's even better for the brain. Look up creatine and Alzheimer's or brain boosting. We have the very best creatine, the very best type. Read the type it is. Look it up. We're not making that up. We want to sell you what really works. You can get Shilajit gummies, the very best, with the best creatine in a 48-hour buy one, get one free sale right now. So either one of those, the Shilajit gummies, the ultimate creatine, you have 48 hours as of Sunday night. It ends May 12th. You have 2 days to take advantage of this right now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Now, there's another big sale that ends in a couple days. 3 different bundles. The Modern World Survival Stack. Normally $147, now $89. Shilajit Capsules, Atomic Defense, Immune Booster. It's good for your whole body. The Irish Sea Moss Capsules for a massive discount. That is the Modern World Survival Stack. We have the Gut Detox Defense Stack, Zeolite Detox, highest quality private label of zeolite that detoxifies spike protein, heavy metals, draws it out. So important, an incredible zeolite detox defense with the T3, best iodine on the market, the most pure on the atomic chart. One of the main things the enemy does is make sure there's not good iodine in the food supply. We have the very best, or most of the iodine that's out there is bound to another element, so you don't absorb it. This is pure iodine. It's incredible. T3 Trifecta iodine and bovine colostrum, a private label, the highest quality bovine colostrum out there. Women already know about this. It's the main thing women buy from us, but it's your skin, your hair, your eyes, everything. The first 2 weeks of any mammal's milk is just super powered. That is what this is concentrated, bovine colostrum. Normally $148, now $99. And some other big sales are about to end as well. Take advantage of them now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide. The reason we stay on the air at TheAlexShowStore.com. Want to thank you all for your support. Be a VIP. Get $40 and spend free in the store now as well. TheAlexShowStore.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone. Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone.
First, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. We do have a lot still to talk about. Obviously, I don't even know where to begin, pretty much. Like, it's like too crazy. Because I want to get into Sebastian Gorka. But if I talk about Sebastian Gorka, then I gotta talk about everything that has to do with the current counterterrorism plan that Trump has, and then connect that to the wider establishment of the global biometric control grid. And do I really want to dive into that right now? Because there's so much other giant news today that I think we'll start with. I think actually we'll start with the CIA testifying today to the Congress, blaming Dr. Anthony Fauci for covering up the Chinese COVID lab leak by injecting himself into a top secret probe. And we can go to clip number 15 here. This is that CIA whistleblower testifying to Congress about the involvement of Anthony Fauci in the great cover-up. Let's watch.
Paul and other members of the Oversight Committee, thank you for the complimentary introduction, and I appreciate the committee's dedication to transparency and accountability. I am a career CIA operations officer, and as you mentioned, I was on joint duty assignment at the Office of Director National Intelligence Directors Initiatives Group, or the DIG, between March 2025 and April 2026. I was responsible for leading the DIG's investigation into COVID origins, anomalous health incidents, and unidentified anomalous phenomena. I'm here today to discuss the COVID cover-up, the national security implications associated with the DIG's investigative findings, and CIA refusal to comply with lawful oversight, as well as how we remedy these problems. Intelligence community leaders and senior analysts downplayed the possibility that the COVID pandemic originated as a result of a lab incident. Motives are difficult to define given the scope of the DIG's review. Intentional or not, the IC's actions resulted in a cover-up, wasted resources, and a failure to properly inform policymakers. Public health policy would have been very different had the American public been made aware that a virus from a lab in China was going to serve as the foundation for an emergency use authorization mRNA products being mandated by the former administration. Dr. Fauci's role in the cover-up was intentional. Dr. Fauci influenced the analytical process and findings by leveraging his position to ensure the IC consulted with a conflicted list of curated subject matter experts, public health officials, and scientists. This included some of the authors of the paper, The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2, and other public health experts who have been in his orbit for the last 20-plus years. Some of the scientists were part of the Biological Sciences Experts Group, or the BSEG, an office of Director National Intelligence Advisory Body, whose members often receive considerable funding from NIAID and public health agencies. The BSEG scientists influenced National Laboratory WMD research, policy decisions, finished analysis, and other intelligence matters, creating misaligned incentives and conflicts of interest, as well as counterintelligence issues. Since 2006, the BSEG consulted part-time on biodefense issues for the IC, while conducting government...
So, again, we know this already. You know, this is another one of these things where it's like, okay, they're going to come out and confirm what we already know absolutely, with absolutely no question, no vagueness in any of this. We have the emails from Anthony Fauci himself where he's directing people to go launch a, you know, counterattack against the fact that this was a lab leak. Again, I don't know why people don't. Do you understand what's implied by this? Do you understand that they're covering it up because they knew the answer, and them knowing the answer means that they withheld crucial information that would have altered the entire trajectory of the lockdown, the pandemic, the vaccine, all of it? All of it could have been better, could have been easier, right? If they'd come out right away and said, we know where this virus came from. It came from this lab. We can dissect its exact DNA sequence and handle it that way. Like, they pretended not to know to put you in a state of fear and uncertainty so they could take advantage of that and force you to do things you wouldn't otherwise do, while also hiding up their complicity in the creation and the release of the virus in the first place. Do we not understand the seriousness of what was just revealed, what was just confirmed for the umpteenth time about Anthony Fauci not just knowing the truth about the source of the virus, but actively engaged in the cover-up of it while telling people, as the spokesperson for the U.S. government at the time, that they didn't know where it was or that it was, in fact, zoonotic? People got kicked off the internet, like banned off X and all sorts of places because of that lie. And they knew it was a lie the entire time. But why is the CIA telling us this? Why is it a CIA whistleblower talking about this? According to whistleblowers from within the NIAID, Ralph Baric said to them, the CIA got me to do this. So is this the CIA covering up their own complicity in this activity by trying to blame it on Anthony Fauci? Was it not strategic to come out with this information literally one day after the statute of limitations expires? I mean, is that not the biggest joke in the world? They literally wait until one day after the statute of limitations expires to have this new whistleblower come out and say this. And do you know that Event 201, the chairman, the chairperson of that event was Avril Haines, who became the director of national intelligence under Joe Biden? So for the CIA to come out and say, oh, this was Anthony Fauci, he forced our hand, he injected himself into this process and made us do these things, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The head of national intelligence under Biden was the woman who was the chairperson for Event 201, the training seminar where they practiced and, you know, decided exactly how they would treat the misinformation about the lab leak scenario that they had already planned on discrediting before the virus was even known to the vast majority of the world. So I think we've got, like I said, a very tangled web here. The story is at Daily Mail. An active CIA agent has accused Dr. Anthony Fauci of orchestrating a cover-up that derailed American spies from blaming the COVID pandemic on China. CIA officer James Erdman told senators on Capitol Hill that in August 2021, the intelligence community was on the verge of concluding the pandemic leaked from the lab in Wuhan, China. Oh. I'm sorry, what? I missed that part. Y'all get it? You get what I'm laughing at? August 2021? This is what I mean. It's like, okay, what's really going on here? Because I can show you a video of me in January of 2020 saying that it came from the lab in Wuhan, China. It took them, what, 21 months after that to come to the same conclusion? They're all playing games, folks. The CIA was behind this in the first place. That's so funny. August 2021, they got around to figuring out where the virus was from, did they? Okay. That wouldn't have been helpful by that point. By that point, the damage was done. This is what I mean. Well, what are they actually doing? Is it just theater? Is it just to make people like me think that they're doing something? Think that things are coming out? Think that cases are being progressed? Because as far as I know, whistleblowers before have said that Ralph Baric, the guy who was managing the whole operation in the first place, was taking instruction from the CIA. Avril Haines, who almost certainly had CIA connections before ever being a part of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, was the one running Event 201. I mean, what the hell? August 2021, the CIA finally comes around to the most obvious fact about the virus from the very beginning. Literally, is that video of me standing in front of the White House? We were in D.C. I'm pretty sure it was January 20th, 2020. January 21st, 2020. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, it either came from this wet market down the street from the Level 4 bioweapons lab, or it came from the Level 4 bioweapons lab with a history of safety violations. We knew that in January of 2020. And the CIA expects us to believe that it took until August 2021 to figure it out. BS. Just days before the bombshell finding could be released, Fauci injected himself into the probe and significantly influenced intelligence officials to drop their conclusion. Fauci was then head of the NIAID. Dr. Fauci's role in the cover-up was intentional, Erdman told the Senate Homeland Security Committee on Wednesday morning. Dr. Fauci influenced the analytical process and findings by leveraging his position to ensure the IC, intelligence community, consulted with a conflicted list of curated subject matter experts, public health officials, and scientists. Republican Senator Rand Paul told Erdman, a career CIA special operations officer, asked Erdman whether Fauci played a significant role in CIA scientists abandoning their consensus that the disease originated from a lab. It was significantly influenced, Erdman replied before claiming that documentation shows CIA was poised to declare COVID a lab leak on August 12th, 2021, just 5 days later, on August 17th, that position had mysteriously flipped. Ooh, that Anthony Fauci. I'm not buying it. I don't know. I'm not buying it. I think that this is all a orchestrated cover-up on top of the cover-up. This is a cover-up on top of the cover-up of Anthony Fauci's cover-up of the lab leak origin. That's my interpretation of exactly what's going on here. But that wasn't the only thing that the quote-unquote CIA whistleblower, who I trust less now, that I've actually... And that's crazy. August 2021, really. Let's go to clip three here. This is was another, you know, bombshell announcement from the CIA whistleblower, this time about some classic conspiracy theory topics. Let's go to clip number three. Let's watch.
The CIA refused to provide information necessary to understand why analytical standards at the CIA were violated. The CIA illegally monitored the computer and phone usage of DIG personnel, their investigations, and contact with whistleblowers. These were Americans being spied upon illegally while executing duties directed by the president and under the authority of the Director of National Intelligence. One CIA contractor assisting with the DIG's investigation into the events that transpired between 2022 and 2023 was fired by the CIA 1 day after meeting with the DIG. When the DIG ceased operations, the CIA also took back 40 boxes of JFK files and MKUltra files being processed for declassification by DNI Gabbard.
You know, there was once a president who wanted to shatter the CIA and scatter it to the winds in a thousand pieces. Whatever happened to him? Whatever happened to that guy? Oh, right. He was shot in the head by a lone gunman. From behind, of course. I think it's time. I think it's time we shatter the CIA and scatter it to the winds. I think they are exclusively negative in terms of their impact here in America. Let's get rid of them already, can we, please? So, you know, it's just sort of like more of what we already know. It's a little bit frustrating. Same type of thing over and over again. We know Anthony Fauci was involved in the cover-up. It's never a question. That's not been a question. It was obvious from the beginning, just based off of the way he was acting and the facts on the ground. Like I said, somehow we figured this out in January of 2020. We're not super geniuses. We don't have spy devices in the NIAID. We just looked at the facts and went, okay, here's what happened. These people are evil. They created a virus. They're releasing the virus. They're going to use the virus to lock down the country to get mail-in ballots so they can cheat. This was all obvious. But okay, fine. Now we have another whistleblower coming out and saying again what we already know. And we've got, like, we can't get the facts about events that occurred 70 years ago. We cannot get our own government's files on investigations into the murder of our president in the 1960s. So this is like a big problem, obviously, or it's more like a symptom of a big problem. It would be nice to know the truth. It would. But that's not really the concern here. The concern here is that it's like, how are we ever supposed to move forward when we have a 50-year backlog of lies and manipulation and deceit? And for the past 50 years, every new lie, every new act of deceit is piled on top of those initial lies and acts of deceit. How are we ever supposed to regain control of our country when we can't even get access to a bunch of files about a bunch of dead people? Everybody involved in JFK is dead. There's nobody they're protecting. I think they're protecting the nation state of Israel and their very apparent involvement in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Just look into it a little bit. So that in that way, it sort of falls into everything else that we talk about today. It turns out, folks, it really is the answer to why all these things are happening. Like, it's not actually that complicated. Why don't we have the JFK files? Israel. Why'd we go to war with Iran? Israel. Why are we building all these data centers out? Hey, guess what? It's Israel. Maybe a step or two removed, but I think I'll be able to lay that out for you today. So, you know, it's just one of these things where it's almost so ubiquitous that it's overwhelming, and it actually, like, makes you sound crazy for telling the truth. It makes you sound like an obsessed anti-Semite if you just lay out all of the various ways that Israeli influence in America over the last century or so has destroyed this country from the inside out in, oh, so many different ways. It's a little frustrating. It's a little bit frustrating. It really, and there's a lot of things. Like, I don't like talking about this stuff. I like this being a family show. I like talking about things that everybody can watch without throwing up, but I do have to cover Israel a lot. And when you cover Israel, you have to cover things like Israeli soldiers training dogs to rape prisoners. You think I want to talk about that? You think that's something I want to say on the air? It's absolutely not. But this is what we got to do. This is where we got to go with this. This is what we got to talk about. It's unfortunate and it makes you sound insane, but it's the truth. And it's one of those things where you'll see people posting this. There's very well sourced reporting on this exact fact. And under it, you'll see people comment being like, hey, look, I'm not an Israeli shill or anything, but like, you can't just be saying this crazy stuff. You sound insane. And it's like, this has to be a strategy, right? This is a strategy that you do things that are so evil, that are so out of left field, that anybody talking about them sounds insane. Is that a strategy? And it's like, again, sort of ubiquitous when it's like, who do you think killed JFK? Israel? Why'd we get into Iran war? Israel? Right? You're just like, Israel's the answer to everything. It's like, wow, this guy just is obsessed with Israel. Or Israel does all these bad things, and maybe we should all be a little bit obsessed with it until we can get out from under their influence, because it's clearly so incredibly negative and continuous, and it just goes on and on. So we'll talk about it. We will get into it, folks. Don't you worry about that. And it's pretty interesting. It's pretty fascinating the way in which you can study the Eighth Front War like a real war, like the attack and the counterattack, the defensive maneuvers, the full frontal assaults. It's very fascinating stuff. And so what happened last week, this week, sort of in the last few days, is that you have this guy, Nicholas Kristof, who wrote an article for the New York Times called The Silence That Meets the Rape of the Palestinians. So this type of thing. I got 4 minutes left in this segment. I'm just thinking out loud here. This is what's going through my mind as I'm covering the news. I got clips of Israeli soldiers on national television bragging about doing this. I'd like to show that to emphasize that, like, we're not making this up. This is insane. I have the story that actually exists about the systematic rape of Palestinians in Israeli jails, people who've never been charged for a crime, and yet some who have been hospitalized or killed as a consequence of the sexual assault, including dogs being involved. There's a lot of detail in there you'd want to get into. But then on top of that, you have the counterattack where Israeli Hezbollah propaganda media published a gruesome and largely fictitious account of what happened on October 7th, because apparently they somehow figured out that this story about Palestinian rape victims of Israel was going to come out. And so they countered that with their own explosive and bombshell story about October 7th. However, that story was written by somebody who's been a proven fraud and makes a bunch of claims that have been disproven routinely since they first emerged. So that's fascinating, the way in which the Eighth Front War is being carried out, and they are countering factual information with non-factual information. I want to get into that. But then it goes deeper, because I got to say, you start talking about the R word, and I can't help but want to transition over to people like old Jeffrey Epstein and the way that rape has been weaponized in all sorts of ways during this and other conflicts, including a story from the Rolling Stone from a guy who grew up living on the same block of Jeffrey Epstein, who says every single child in their neighborhood was sexually assaulted by multiple people. That might be a topic we want to look into and talk about. It might also explain some of the mindset that you see around the country. After all, my favorite meme of all time, that is my least favorite meme of all time, the picture of the 1950s family with the subtitles that are like, I'm, you know, I've raped my wife, and the wife's like, I'm zonked out on sleeping pills. And it's like, well, yeah, no wonder a bunch of people think that the night, I need it like tattooed on my forehead or something. I bring it up every show. But it's because it's so informative as to the belief system, the view of this. If you haven't seen it before, it's 1950s family looking lovely. And of course, all of the subtitles say, you know, reveal the underlying, disturbing, degenerate, disgusting, abusive facts of life under the sheeny, you know, nice looking exterior. And it's like, it's pure projection. Because apparently some people live in communities like that. Some people, like Jeffrey Epstein, grew up in communities where it looks nice, it looks like a 1950s white picket fence, leave it to beaver, you know, style of neighborhood. But in reality, they're all getting raped behind the scenes. It's like, this is crazy. I've got a story. It's in the Rolling Stone. It's a full-fledged thing. It's the guy who grew up right next door to Jeffrey Epstein, knew him when he was a kid. It was like, yeah, it was a fact of life. Wasn't a fact in my life, not in the neighborhood I grew up in, but it's easy to understand how somebody involved in that would think everybody's like that, would think every family presenting itself as, you know, loving and carefree is in fact is, you know, seething, bubbling cauldron of hate. It's like, no, dude, this is you. This is you, apparently. I grew up with Jeffrey Epstein. Our neighborhood held dark secrets. So we're going to return to this on the other side. We're going to talk about rape. We're going to talk about rape in all of its various forms and all of its various uses by Israel in their desperate drive to conquer the world. So we'll get into it. We'll talk about it. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support absolutely everything that we do here. Methylene Red Capsules, our new product that we have on offer at thealexjonesstore.com. They're the Methylene Red Capsules. Built for everyday people who feel tired, foggy, worn down, mentally drained from everything happening every day. You can get it now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. When we're back on the other side, talk about all this crap.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI under Obama's command launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. The article is, as the author puts it, difficult to read, hard to read. Nicholas Kristof at Nick Kristof on X says, I hope you'll read it, even though it's difficult. I've spent some time reporting on widespread rape and other sexual violence on Palestinian male and female prisoners by Israeli authorities. And the article is now published. The assault victims were warned not to give speak of what they endured. They were sometimes told they would be killed or raped if they gave interviews, but they found the courage to do so. One man described being raped three times in a single day in Israeli prison. The third time after he tried to protest, a young woman said the guards would come in at the beginning of each shift and strip her naked and abuse her. Another reported that she was shown photos of herself being raped and warned they would be released unless she cooperated with Israeli intelligence. Even three children who had been detained told me they'd been sexually abused. Look, whatever our position on the Middle East, we should be able to agree on being anti-rape. Sexual assaults were horrific when Israeli women were targeted on October 7th, and they're equally horrific when Israeli authorities use them against Palestinians day after day after day. We should be able to find common ground in opposing rape. We should. We should. No, I agree with the sentiment. However, we are dealing with a radicalized and extremist cult in the form of Israel. And we can go now to clip number 34. Here's a broadcast of Israeli television where they talk about whether rape is wrong. Let's watch. He says, I told my friend that I don't give a rat's buttocks about what they do to a guy like that. Talking about the rape victim who was hospitalized. What, is that really what you think? He says unequivocally, yes. He says, whoa, 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 whoa. Soldiers who are suspected in the criminal offense of rape. Yes. Of a cuffed prisoner? It doesn't, you don't care about that? Okay. Does the morality of our soldiers not interest you? No. By the way, they're not soldiers, in fact. They're not soldiers. They're criminals. Again, I don't give a rat's buttocks what they did to that Hamas man. I always remember, first of all, the only thing that is a problem for me here is that it's not a regulated policy of the state to abuse the detainees. Because first of all, they deserve it, and it's great revenge, and we need to give them that. And secondly, maybe it will also serve as a little bit more of a deterrent. That is, the moment the other side, who we need to remember, Josh, we need to remember it well, and then never lose our focus or cool down, that these people tied 30 of our daughters on trees on the 7th of October, and they did to them acts that are not less, that are no less severe. I don't even want to make the comparison, severe in an extreme way. So first of all, they deserved it. It's an appropriate revenge. It's just a shame that we don't do it in an institutionalized way as part of regulations for torture of prisoners. Because the next guys who think about doing another October 7th will say, do you see what they're doing in Israel? Don't even think about it. First of all, I'm sorry these things are even being aired, because what Schlesinger is doing here is simply an incitement to violence. Incitement to violence. Real incitement? This man has just expressed support for the criminal offense of rape being committed on prisoners. He's nods along. Horrible terrorists, Hamas, men who want to kill you too and abduct you and F you. Like, I'll just emphasize the point, Slash. I don't think no one here is, I don't think Josh is trying to defend this scum. No, he is. I think it's a question, is that, is it appropriate for an IDF soldier under any circumstances to insert a sharp object when we're talking about Hamas? Hamas man, a man who burned children, who raped women, that his whole idea is to take each and every one of us and throw us in the sea and commit the worst possible acts on us. That's the revenge they deserve to get. And more than that, it needs to be a deterring force. Let's give Josh a moment. Wait, he didn't say anything. How are you already said? But wait, let him speak. He said it's really shame. People say things like you do on air. It's really sad. Weakening the nation. The enemy sees it. He sees how flaccid you are and how much you want The Hague again. I almost have to laugh, because even the guy objecting to it only objects to it on the basis that it will eventually bite them in the butt. He's not saying, no, this is wrong on the face of it. He's saying it's an incitement to violence. You're going to cause people to be violent against us. You're going to cause people to hate us more when you go out and advocate for not just the rape of prisoners, but that it should be a regular activity and a regulated strategy of the IDF or the Israeli prisons. Now, the thing to remember is a lot of the so-called rapes on October 7th that they talk about never actually happened. So they're angry about a fantasy of theirs. And the people being raped in the prison have never been convicted of a crime.
I need to be able to stay on air. We had a massive effect exposing their COVID rollout, and we're key globally. in warning the public, teaching people real things that protected you, and getting the lockdowns and fraud to stop. The enemy's back. We need to stay on air. You are the Paul Revere's. Your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support would make it easy to support us because the products are amazing. I only sell you things that really work, so you get it and it blows you away. It's so good and you want to get it again and again and again. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have a flash sale that's going for 48 hours that launched last night that runs until tomorrow evening, Tuesday night at midnight. Buy one Shilajit gummies, amazing huge bottle of them, and get one Shilajit gummies free. Buy one Ultimate Creatine, the highest quality creatine out there, private label, the top brand in the U.S., and get another Ultimate Creatine free. That is a massive deal. Now, if you don't know what Shilajit is, it's not all equal. Mainly out of the Himalayas, but it's also in some other mountain ranges. We'll have an earthquake, and then it's just this million-year-old black goo.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you here from the off-site InfoWars replacement. We're not InfoWars. I keep reminding myself that. Still feels like we are. But we're not, obviously. Legally, we're not. We're the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Share that link, alexjoneslive.com. Some people still don't know where to find us. And I'll tell you, we have a lot of new people tuning in. Probably thanks to things like The Onion. Thanks, guys, for that. As well as just all the news about it, which is good. We, you know, the point of this is to reach as many people as possible. And I hope if you are tuned in for the first time, you're realizing that we aren't just flying off the handle or talking about Bigfoot or, you know, making things up. We are literally responding to mainstream media articles about some of the most evil things in the world and just explaining to you the way that these revelations are being done strategically, when in reality, you could have known all of this a very long time ago. And so it's great. It's a very good thing that we have all these new viewers, and thank you for being here, and thank you for sharing the link and telling new people about it. The problem is, it's our old school loyal listeners that go to the Alex Jones Store and buy things. New viewers aren't always that inclined. So I want to give you, you know, a couple reasons as to why you should be supporting the Alex Jones Network at thealexjonesstore.com and sharing our links at alexjoneslive.com. The first is because we are in an information war. I don't know if you've realized this, but clearly the most powerful method of controlling humanity right now is through information. They don't have jackbooted thugs kicking your door down and dragging you out if you disobey them. They do have methods of revelation through the mainstream media of warping people's minds or shaping their perspective on certain things, of establishing trends where they don't exist and hiding patterns and trends where they do exist. It is, at its core, an information war, and we are able to decode the information being shared because we know the endpoint. We know what ultimately they're driving at. And once you know where they're going, you can reverse engineer how they're trying to get there. And we're going to cover that later in the show. I've got a very bombshell video that you all need to know about some new scientific revelations, some scientific discoveries that are probably the biggest discoveries in the entire world, but are getting no attention. We'll get into that a little bit later. But the point is that there's a reason we're able to predict things so far ahead. There's a reason we're able to understand what the powers that be are going to do before they maybe even know they're going to do it, certainly before they announce it. And it's because we've reverse engineered their method of attack. It's why we knew about the lab leak in January of 2020. It's why we knew not only that there would be vaccines, but that there would be vaccine mandates to get out of a lockdown all the way back in February when people were hearing 2 weeks to slow the spread for the first time ever. Or how we knew the way in which the 2020 election would be stolen using the mail-in ballots, which depended on the lockdowns. There's a reason we can call it all. There's a reason we can foresee the moves of the enemy. And it's because we are engaged in an information war, and we treat it like one. We study the enemy troop movements, and we try to deploy our troops to counteract it. So that's the information war side of things, and the Alex Jones Network, Alex Jones himself, the crew here, the, you know, John Bound, the reports that we make have proven to be the most accurate, the most successful at fighting the bad guys, which is why they've attacked us so brutally. And yet we've survived because we have the truth on our side, because we're honest and we don't commit crimes. We don't try to get away with things, so they don't have anything to hold over us. And because our audience recognizes that even if we do get things wrong, which is extremely rare, practically non-existent, it's a mistake, not because we're lying. And if we do find that we covered something incorrectly, we're happy to go back and say that we are wrong, because all we're interested in is being right and progressing humanity towards a more peaceful world. That's the information war side of things. The other side of things is the chemical war side of things. There is a chemical war going on in which your body and your mind are the battlefield. And there's any number of, you know, strategic deployments of chemicals with negative impacts to human beings that are deployed on purpose by big corporations, as well as in coordination with big government, things like fluoride, things like atrazine, things like glyphosate, that, yes, they do make you sick in general, right? You might just get cancer from these things, but the subtle effects are far, far more dangerous. And there's a reason you find that if you learn the truth and find this stuff out and you're like, oh my God, this stuff is crazy, I can't wait to tell people. And then you go and tell people and their reaction is to be mad at you, or their reaction is to be suspicious of you or something. And it can be kind of disorienting because, you know, if you're here, if you're a thinking human being, if you're somebody with the ability to contend with reality, and you might be in a world of illusion and fantasy, you know, dictated by the mainstream media and the, you know, culture at large, you come to a place like the Alex Jones Network and you get that illusion shattered and you go, oh my God, the things are crazy. And you're like, if you're like me, you're like excited to learn this. You're like, oh my God, this is incredible. This is amazing. I can't believe, you know, all this stuff is true, but it is. And so then you want to go tell your friends, and you're like the classic thing for me is in like 20, whatever it was, 11 or whenever, around that time, when Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? And you're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body, but that's why we sell the supplements that we do. People mock our supplements. The fact is, pretty much everybody takes – who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store, and you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. We don't just throw stuff up here, right? We find the best in the market, we white label it, private label it, and we sell it to you at a discount. So if you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, That's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. We're able to be totally free to air, take this content up, put it up yourself because you go to thealexjonesstore.com and support us. But also, put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything, but I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. It really is a thing. And, you know, testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. Maybe at a certain point of testosterone, it can be a negative thing, but that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence, because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product. So there you go. If you're a new viewer, that's the reason those are two reasons to support InfoWars. Not InfoWars. Never support InfoWars. Doesn't even exist. What are you going to support? Those are the reasons you want to support Alex Jones Live and go to thealexjonesstore.com. And by the way, even if you don't want any of the products, actually the best way to support us monetarily is to contribute at the Alex Jones show, or I'm sorry, AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com. Keep Alex on the air. Emergency request. They've come at Alex from every angle, and he's still here broadcasting daily from a brand new studio on the Alex Jones Network at AlexJonesLive.com. Stand with him now. More than ever, stand with all of us, myself, the crew, everybody who contributes, thealexjonesstore.com. You can go there and you can just contribute outright. That way, you know, the full amount comes to us. Because I know people who buy products that they don't even want just because they want to contribute. Don't do that. Because we pay for the products. We have a pretty high overhead. We actually give you guys pretty good prices. So it's not like we're, you know, making a ton of money every time we sell products. We make enough to stay afloat. But if you want to just contribute, you know, the full amount that you give, thealexjonesstore.com has the ability to do that as well. Okay. I'm sorry, but I got to give you the spiel just because I think people who are tuning in for the first time may have a misapprehension about what we sell, why we sell it, why we do what we do. Hopefully it's a little bit clearer now. Back to the rape. Back to the systematic rape of war, shall we? So, the article from the New York Times, The Silence That Meets the Rape of the Palestinians. Male and female Palestinians describe brutal sexual abuse at the hands of Israel's prison guards, soldiers, settlers, and interrogators. It's a simple proposition. Whatever our views of the Middle East conflict, we should be able to unite in condemning rape. Supporters of Israel made the point that after the brutal sexual assaults against Israeli women during the Hamas-led attack on Israel on October 7, 2023, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Benjamin Netanyahu, and many U.S. senators, including Marco Rubio, condemned that sexual violence, and Netanyahu rightly called on all civilized leaders to speak up. And yet, in wrenching interviews, Palestinians have recounted to this author a pattern of widespread Israeli sexual violence against men, women, and even children by soldiers, settlers, interrogators in the Shin Bet internal Security Agency, and above all, prison guards. There's no evidence that Israeli leaders order rapes, but in recent years, they built a security apparatus where sexual violence has become, as the United Nations report put it last year, one of Israel's, quote, standard operating procedures and a major element in the ill treatment of Palestinians. A report out last month from the Euromed Human Rights Monitor, a Geneva-based advocacy group often critical of Israel, concludes that Israel employs systematic sexual violence that is, quote, widely practiced as part of an organized state policy. And that's bad. You know, it's another one of these things where it's like I read this and I'm like, okay, what? How do I even analyze? Like, what am I supposed to analyze here? It's just another example of the endless savagery and black-heartedness and evil that seems to permeate everything Israel does. And it's disgusting and it's sick and it's approved of by the vast majority. I mean, there was this, it's like so many wrinkles to this story. You've got the fact that they were caught on video, a bunch of Israeli soldiers raping prisoners. This became a case in Israel. The people who committed the rapes were acquitted of it and actually brought on Israeli TV and celebrated like they were heroes who were congratulated and confirmed. Before the, you know, trial even started, there were riots outside of the prison by Israeli citizens who were mad that the people were being punished or charged or in any way held to account for the rapes that they carried out. They rioted on behalf of the rapists to continue to rape the prisoners who, I remind you, have never had a day in court, have never been able to argue their innocence, in some cases have never been charged with a crime, in some cases are minors. It's disgusting. It's disgusting and insane, and it's not one or two bad apples. It's the whole bunch. And it's sick, and they're open about it. They think it's funny. They're not shy. They're not hiding it. I mean, you saw there, the biggest conflict you get is one person going, hey, dude, you can't actually say that. People are going to get mad. That's like the most I've ever seen pushback on this. The woman who revealed the whistleblower, the attorney for the rape victims herself was harassed endlessly to the point where, like, she couldn't walk down the street. There's videos of her, like, crying as people are yelling at her and throwing things at her. She eventually tried to commit suicide because of the abuse that she was facing for revealing the rape of prisoners by Israeli guards. And they were acquitted. So I'm not going to get into the details of this story because they are lurid and disgusting, but you can read it yourself if you want. And this was published in the New York Times, The Silence Then Meets the Rape of Palestinians. Obviously, this is very embarrassing for Israel, but like everything we've seen recently, they're not so embarrassed that they stop. They're not so embarrassed that they actually stop doing it. And they're not actually embarrassed about doing it. They're just angry they got caught. And they're, I guess, just like embarrassed that they're exposed. I don't really know. There's the protest right there banging on the prison wall. And then, of course, Israel calls that blood libel, even though it's on video and confirmed in legal accounts. So what actually happens is, Israel, in order to combat a factual article about the way in which they use rape as a weapon of war, they come out with another article in the Daily Mail. It says, full depravity of Hamas during October 7th revealed for the first time. New report details how terrorists performed almost unimaginable horrors on Israeli families. And this is the thing. When October 7th happened, it was awful. And I felt awful for the Israelis. And I still do. For the ones that were targeted, for the families in their kibbutzes, you know, waking up to gunfire. It's horrifying and it's terrifying. But then they say the thing about the 40 beheaded babies wasn't true. Then they make all these claims about women being tied to trees. It's all been proven false. And doesn't it kind of lessen the impact of October 7th? Doesn't it kind of make you go, well, did any of this happen? Or was any of this real? Or what about the stand down order and the Hannibal directive? Do I even care about this anymore? Because if it was so bad, you wouldn't have to lie so much about it. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? That it's unreasonable, even if your only, you know, goal was to actually honor and remember the victims of October 7th. Why would you lie about it so much? Why would you say so many falsehoods about it? You are cheapening the reality, if there is any, which at this point, it seems, you know, fake up and down. Seems like the raid was known about and allowed to occur with the stand down order for hours and the soldiers themselves testifying under oath that they were given stand down orders and told not to patrol their normal patrol to allow this thing to happen. The Hannibal directive being carried out. Once again, it's like, you know, they want you to feel like a terrible person. Like, as if it's you committing the acts on October 7th, if you merely say, why are you lying about this? Or what really happened? Or that was disproven. They'll say that's an anti-Semitic blood libel. How dare you? They, you know, connect it to questioning the Holocaust, which is a whole different topic. Aaron Monte points out that the author of the cover-up report, so there's the actual report from the New York Times where they actually interviewed a bunch of Palestinians and got all the evidence and, you know, published the really disturbing details about it. Then Israel publishes this fake report trying to, I guess, compete for the horror. Aaron Monte says the author of this report is a documented fraudster and a grifter who even Israeli officials have faulted for inaccurate research. The quote unquote report approvingly cites other documented fraudsters, including those who spread the beheaded babies hoax. Those who launder October 7th atrocity propaganda to manufacture support for the Gaza genocide only continue to reveal their full depravity. And it goes on and on and on and on. As Z Squirrel puts it on X, what happened over the past 2 days is pretty amazing. The Israeli regime knew Nick Kristof was going to publish this New York Times piece on their actual systematic rape of Palestinians, including children and the use of dogs to rape. So they fabricated a new report, the most insane one yet, copy-pasted together by a proven fraud that repeats all the already debunked falsehoods and relies entirely on known proven hoaxers. And they actually got the New York Times, BBC, CNN, AP, Reuters, and Reuters to launder it for them a day after the Kristof piece came out to try to bury it. They own the entire media class completely. And once again, what he's talking about, or she's talking about, the media class being involved in is the cover-up and the deliberate, you know, downplaying of systematic rapes of non-convicted prisoners by the prison guards and the soldiers. And then, of course, you have this story from Al Jazeera. Israeli soldiers expose directives to execute all men in Gaza. Once again, as if we needed the confirmation, as if we needed the whistleblower, as if we didn't know this from all of the footage of them killing everybody or the Daddy's Home AI agenda. I mean, yeah, no, it's called a genocide, folks, for a reason. And it's not just the men in Gaza that they're killing. That's the one I guess they felt comfortable enough to actually give the official orders to kill, but they don't draw a distinction. An investigation aired on Israel's Channel 13 that revealed the Israeli military directed soldiers to kill all the males they encountered in Gaza. The revelation adds to the growing evidence of genocide committed by the Jewish state. Middle East Eye reported on the television program providing the quotes in English. This story is at alexjoneslive.com. And it's going to continue on the other side. We'll get back into it. Talk about how this sick mindset travels.
I am so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning. But I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family, hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on, but we need your support.
your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, or even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So the 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now. Thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still, and will always be, 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Let's see if we can't bridge the gap between what Israel's doing over there and what they're doing over here. Obviously, there's a attempt now to by Israel to shield themselves from the backlash to their own actions. Part of that is by no longer being dependent on American foreign aid, since they know that that's likely going to go away soon. So what they're doing is trying to establish a partnership with America. They did a very similar thing with Ukraine when it looked like Donald Trump was going to win the election in 2024. And even before then, they Trump-proofed Ukraine aid by basically signing 5-year agreements between Ukraine and the United States government that basically you couldn't get out of because the Senate agreed to it. So the president doesn't have a right to overcome it. And so basically didn't matter who got elected. They would be receiving the aid anyway. This is kind of what's happening here, where instead of foreign aid, it'll be seen as investment, or it'll be seen as in-kind, you know, donation, cooperations. From Information Liberation, Prime Minister Netanyahu is working to secure U.S. aid for Israel indefinitely by retooling our special relationship from one of quote-unquote aid to a supposed quote-unquote partnership. This headline, the headline out of Netanyahu's 60 Minutes interview on Sunday was Netanyahu's claim that it's time they weaned themselves off of the, quote, remaining military support they received from America. In reality, CBS News, under Larry Ellison's handpicked editor Barry Weiss, just deceptively edited out the part to hide the fact that Netanyahu was actually seeking to rebrand our aid as a, quote, partnership. Barry Weiss of CBS deceptively cut out the part of the interview where Netanyahu clarified that rather than getting aid from the U.S., he wants us to have a so-called partnership. I want to draw the aid down, he said. And then I want to suggest projects, joint projects for intel, for weapons, for missile defense. What he's describing is taking military tech such as missile defense, which we funded, and then selling it back to us as some sort of partnership. This isn't just missing from the clip below. It was chopped out of the full show, too, without any clear cuts. Note, too, he says he wants to start now and not wait until the next Congress because he knows the American people don't want to give Israel a dime. As I highlighted last year, at the same time that Netanyahu was pushing this nonsense about weaning from the U.S., the Israeli lobby was quietly plotting to secure an aid package for the Jewish state that would span 25 years rather than 10 in order to insulate the relationship against any future U.S. political vagaries and uncertainties. It now appears as if they're going to rebrand this aid as a partnership. And in reality, they are setting up a partnership in a lot of ways. As we explained yesterday, whether it's the Cyberdome that accused pedophile Tom Alexandrovich is in charge of, where they're bringing in NATO, the Five Eye countries, Germany, and American cyber defense will be managed by Israel. Now, Israel is not America. So why we would have any sort of partnership where we relied on them for intelligence or relied on them for defensive information is absurd. We have all of the ability to generate all of that information ourselves. Of course, there's a constant string of lies about, you know, the ability of the Mossad is just so much better than ours. And, oh, we would just be lost and blind without them, as if we would even need to have eyes in the Middle East if it weren't for our dedicated relationship with Israel. Anyway, Israel isn't just spending its own money. Every major arms contract is listed on congressional record as FMF funded, U.S. grants, not Israeli funds. They're signing against future aid they haven't received yet. The outstanding balance is over $47 billion. Here's how you know Israel isn't spending its own money. When other countries like Qatar buy U.S. arms, the congressional notification says funding source, national funds. When Israel buys U.S. arms, it says funding source, foreign military financing, that is U.S. taxpayer grants. And do you remember, I just recently, and I cannot encourage you enough to go watch this documentary called Nick Fuentes versus Charlie Kirk, the Groiper War documentary. It's on YouTube by a user named Militant Groiper. And you do not have to be a Groiper to watch this. You don't have to be a fan of Nick Fuentes to watch this. It's a very well done documentary that really just presents the facts. And I posted this on X, but just say it here. The mainstream media is not going to cover these types of events like the Groiper War. If you aren't familiar with the Groiper War, basically, Charlie Kirk had a speaking tour in 2019 where he went around and challenged college students to go up to the microphone and talk to him. Normally, it would be, you know, left-wing sort of socialist dummies that go up and, you know, demand he supports transgenderism and he would just knock them down. But what happened was followers of Nick Fuentes and really just right-wingers in general started to go up and ask questions about the USS Liberty or foreign aid to Israel. And again, totally fascinating, like monumental political event. It also is no small part of why I've been defending Nick Fuentes on X a little bit, because like this was 2019. He was leading the charge in 2019 and paying the price for it and going toe to toe with the likes of TPUSA and their entire power structure. So for people who just woke up to reality in 2024 to be like, screw this kid, it's like, you got to show him some respect. It's the same way I feel about Alex Jones. He's put in the work. He's proven he's got the stuff. He has made a difference already, and you benefit from the effect, the change effect that he's caused. So show some respect for the guy and what he's done already. Even if you disagree with him or whatever, you know, to disrespect him is kind of silly. It's an important thing what he's been able to do. This guy's only got 1.5. So it's a really amazing documentary, and I want to encourage you to go watch it, because we need more content like this, because if we lived in a normal country, this event, which went on for weeks and was a huge deal and, you know, dominated the X conversation. No mainstream media outlet is ever going to make anything about this, let alone an honest retelling of the story. And it's important for us to understand. It's political history here in America. And yet, you'll never get that, you know, story on 60 Minutes. You'll never get the profile of how this, you know, worked out aired on CBS News or ABC or anywhere else. So we need people with talent and ability to do the work. It took a lot of work. I'll tell you right now, I've edited documentaries to find all the footage, put all the clips in order, make sure it all fits on the timeline. It tells the story in a compelling way. It's extremely well done. And you should know that anybody out there making good political content that tells a good story that supports America's belief system, the Alex Jones Network is going to support it and encourage you to make more and do what we can to get more of this stuff made. But all this is to the side because it was a reminder, and I hadn't heard it in a while. So it was nice to go back and watch this video from 2019 to rehear the talking point that they used to always throw out, which was, sure, there's all this aid to Israel, but actually they have to spend it with us. So really it's just like aid to us. You remember that? That used to be the stock line. If you questioned aid to Israel, that's what they would say. And it's absurd on the face of it. It's like me saying, I didn't give him a car. I gave him $20,000 and he bought the car from me. You gave him a car, dude. I don't know what to tell you. You gave him money. He gave it back to you and you gave him a thing. You just gave him a thing. All of this pretend shifting of money doesn't make any sense. It's not real. So it's a good reminder of like how things have changed. They don't say that anymore, do they? Because it's ridiculous, because it's an absurd thing for them to say. Well, sure, we give stuff to Israel, but really it's just like supporting America. It's good for American business. No, it's not. And if that's the excuse, what else could we be, you know, using that money on? What if we used it to buy, I don't know, bridges and things like that here in America? But no, we're going to give it to Israel so they can buy bombs from us. Great. So clearly there's been this evolution of the way in which Israel is reacting to their negative propaganda here in America, their negative reputation here in America, to try to shield their income from, you know, political vicissitudes. Let's talk about an Israeli agent, as I perceive it here in America, the gay whale himself, Sebastian Gorka. Sebastian Gorka, who is in fact a homosexual killer whale, it's almost too cool for him. Sperm whale. He's like a homosexual sperm whale, and he has long had the knives out for the alternative media or anybody that he perceives as insufficiently loyal to the state of Israel. Now, I have people telling me he's an American citizen. I have people telling me he's not Jewish. I don't know. I don't really care. The man is a foreign agent, in my opinion, and evinces all of the characteristics one would expect of a hostile and subversive traitor to this country. His latest statement is like a bunch of these things combined, because not only is he saying that Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson are domestic terrorists for the language that they use. So like that alone, it's like, okay, he thinks that language is terrorism, and he thinks that Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, American citizens, expressing their opposition to a suicidal and genocidal war of another state, somehow deserve to be punished for that by the U.S. government. Totally, completely insane. Oh no. Oh, am I a domestic terrorist for calling you a gay whale, Sebastian? But he's felt this way for a long time, and I'll go to the clip of him saying the thing about Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes. But let's start with my interaction with him, because we haven't talked about it in a while. It was a very interesting event. And once again, it was the type of thing we used to do a lot, you know? Before the bankruptcy, we used to be able to go out and go to events and interview people. And you know, find, that's terrifying. You know, find people we want to talk to and interview them. It was very fun. We're going to get back to that. So again, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com to make sure that we, you know, are fully intact and fully ready to, you know, really kick the jets on. Cause this, transition has been great and smooth, but we really need your help to fill the gas tank and get on to the next stage. But this type of stuff I miss doing, and you know, you get these unexpected events. So for me, we're walking around CPAC. I've got a microphone, maybe Greg Reese filming for me. And, you know, we're trying to find people we know. I interviewed Elijah Schaefer. I actually got a question, to Jim Jordan. You know, just you see people, you go up to them. Hey, how's it going? What are you doing here? What's exciting? You know, whatever latest news topic there is, you ask them about. And so I see Sebastian Gorka. I recognize him, obviously. And I go, oh, Sebastian Gorka, turn on the camera. Let's go say hi to him. Not thinking that I was ambushing him, not thinking like, let's go humiliate this guy. I'm like, I just know he's a dude that is famous or whatever. I know he's like a pretty popular guy in conservative circles. So I go up just to say hi to him. And the response I get is like this vicious attack. And you can kind of see in the video, I'm just like, what? I'm just like, what are you talking? Why? What? Why are you so angry at me? It's very weird. This is the type of stuff I'm very excited to get back to. But let's go to it. Here's the video of me interacting with Sebastian Gorka and him trying to kick me out of CPAC. Let's watch. Hello?
Yeah. Go away, all right? You guys are kooks. You're okay. Crazy kooks and conspiracy theorists. Go away.
So we shouldn't be allowed to be here?
This is for real conservatives, not people who are snake oil merchants and conspiracy theorists like you. Goodbye.
There you go, a rousing diatribe of support from Sebastian Gorka. According to him, we're not real conservatives. We are snake oil salesmen and kooks. Well, these snake oil salesmen and kooks are largely the ones who got Trump elected. So while he's riding our coattails and sort of, you know, riding in our wake, he also is trying to get us kicked out of his oh-so-precious conservative action conference. Now, yesterday, there was an incident, of course, where Owen Schroyer was kicked out of CPAC and not given a reason why. Now, Sebastian Gorka applauded this, celebrated this. He was actually questioned on Twitter by CJ Pearson saying, you know, this isn't right. Why are you supporting the destruction of free speech of fellow conservatives at this conservative political action conference? And Sebastian Gorka claimed that they were kicking out Holocaust deniers. Now, it's not up to him what people think or what they say, and obviously Owen Schroyer has never denied the Holocaust, but these are just the smears that get thrown around. Do they just lump anybody together? If you're not, 100% aligned with them, ideologically aligned with them in the neocon conservative ink mindset, you're just bad, you're a kook, you're a snake oil salesman, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are just the smears we've come to expect, and, we've never denied the Holocaust, we've never been anti-Semitic, and yet we'll still be smeared with that same brush because it's not about the truth, it's not about reality, it's about them having control over the apparatus of control, and so we represent a threat to that, and so they'll throw anything at the wall just to see what sticks. So I'm going to continue to walk around and talk to CPAC, and people, as you see, will reveal themselves. The mask comes off. They're not in favor of free speech.
All right, so there you go. A little weird interaction with Sebastian Gorka. But the interesting thing about this is the reason that he called Owen Schroyer a Holocaust denier was because Owen Schroyer works for Alex Jones. Alex Jones did an event with Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes read a super chat out that made a joke referencing the discrepancy of death totals during the Holocaust. So what is that? 10 degrees of separation? So the whole thing, like what had happened, I guess, before CPAC was the Cookie Monster Nick Fuentes scandal, where a super chatter to Nick Fuentes said, you know, a Cookie Monster wants 6 million cookies. He has this many ovens. Can he bake that many cookies in that amount of time? And Nick Fuentes kind of laughed and goes, I don't know if the math really adds up there. I don't know. That's a lot of cookies. You might need some more ovens. And then he kind of moves on. So again, it's not even like he came out questioning the Holocaust. It was a oblique reference to the fact that people questioned the Holocaust. It was a joke referencing the fact that people questioned the Holocaust numbers, which isn't even questioning the Holocaust in the first place. It's questioning the death totals, which I think is perfectly valid to speculate on since we don't have friggin' video footage of it happening. Nobody really knows at the end of the day. But it's about this, like, joke smearing Nick Fuentes as a Holocaust denier. So now if you have an event with Nick Fuentes, now you're a Holocaust denier. And if you work for somebody who has an event with Nick Fuentes, you're also a Holocaust denier. So it's like a disease. It's like, I don't know, some sort of infection that you get if you're just anywhere near anybody associated with anybody close to somebody who doesn't, you know, treat the Holocaust with the absolute utmost respect and reverence, which, sorry, you don't have a right to dictate what people find funny and what they don't. So that's a little background for you of the gay whale. Now let's go to clip six here. This is Sebastian Gorka saying that Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes and other anti-Trump people aren't right-wingers and are domestic terrorists. Let's watch.
Dr. Gorka is with us, who is one of the top advisors to the president, the top advisor he's got on terrorism. We have just seen the announcement of the president's new counterterrorism strategy, which is, I think, probably the culmination of decades of work from Dr. G, and is something that I think sets America on a track to be much safer. We're going to get all the details with you, so this is a pretty big deal. So let's talk a little bit about the domestic terror, how we're addressing it. And I want to get your thoughts on any right-wing terror that's out there. But before we do, because I really am curious your actual answer, if there's any, from what you're tracking. And I know you see, you're a straight shooter with me, Dr. G, so you'll tell me if there is. But we've seen so much left-wing terror, really dating back to Occupy, which was pretty violent. We had that, remember Andrew Breitbart's fame, stop raping the people comment. But then we, of course, have seen multiple assassination attempts against President Trump. We don't know if any of them come from any organized groups, I don't think, but maybe individuals, rogue individuals. Then we're seeing stuff like the SPLC, which is astroturfing right-wing terrorism. We saw a study the day we're recording this, Dr. G, that was from CNN of all places, showing that anti-Semitic attacks are at an all-time high. We know this is from, I don't know, people who are on the left-right political spectrum, but certainly people who aren't voting for President Trump. We'll tell you that. Those are the people who are committing those types of attacks. So let's come back to right-wing extremism. Do you regard it as a threat at all or anything that's important to be considering right now? Because the SPLC revelations, I feel like we just got the tip of the iceberg. We don't really know how deep it goes. I mean, is there any? Like, I guess that's the question. I'm assuming there's a little bit because it's a big country. There's a little bit of everything. But is there really anything?
So right now, I can tell you that we need to get to the bottom of what the SPLC engendered. If you are paying alleged putative conservative extremists, then you're funding them as a left-wing organization, then what is that? Is that left-wing extremism or right-wing extremism? That is why it is imperative that what the FBI is doing, what the money trail investigations by, God bless him, Scott Bessent, will lead us to, will be crucial to understanding the real threat picture in America. But right
let's pause it right there. Let's pause it right there real quick. The SPLC was never accused of funding terror. Do you understand that? The SPLC was charged with fraud for providing funding to white nationalist, white whatever groups. Terrorism is an action. Terrorism is violence. It's not thoughts. It's not words. What the SPLC was engaged in is astroturfing the popularity of white supremacist groups so they could point to those groups and say anybody opposing mass migration, anybody who doesn't want to be replaced in their own homeland, they must be KKK white national supremacists, so they have to be stopped. But they didn't sponsor any violence. Obviously, the Charlottesville rally had some incidental but not deliberate or coordinated violence. It had, you know, a dumbass driving his car into a crowd when he was freaking out because they were attacking him. But regardless, to say that the SPLC is funding terror and we have to figure out if that terror is right wing or left wing, that is a complete mischaracterization of what happened. They weren't funding terror. They were funding a propaganda war. They were funding a information attack against the people of the United States, and they were charged for committing fraud, for defrauding their donors, even though I think that's probably going to fall flat, because I think the SPLC is going to be capable of arguing that what it was doing was in line with what it promised to its donors. Regardless, I think it's important to lay that out right now, that there was no terror involved in any of that, but it is an excuse that the likes of Gorka are using to go, oh, now right-wing activists are terrorists that are funded by the SPLC, so we'll have to go after them. Largely slop, Trump's new counterterrorism strategy is scant on substance, but heavy on enemies. Critics say document outlining strategy is both completely Trump plan and alarming escalation in rhetoric. It gets worse than that. Back to the gay whale, please.
God bless him. Scott Bessent will lead us to, will be crucial to understanding the real threat picture in America. But right now, we are not seeing comparable trend lines to violence on the right as we see on the left. And also, can I get extemporaneously just kind of add a little addition here?
Please.
It's up to people like you. I'm not a political analyst anymore. I'm a counterterrorism government employee. But we have to have an effective, accurate snapshot on who are part of the conservative movement today. Because I would say to you, I'm not sure that Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson are conservatives. If you are lauding a Sharia law, if you are saying that there are Muslim states that seem to be better qualitatively than America in terms of freedom and prosperity, I'm not sure that means you're part of the conservative movement. So if you remove those individuals and you understand that they're not conservatives, what's left? Who are the people in the mainstream of the conservative movement, Alex, who are saying violence is okay? Hard to find people who aren't fringe figures.
See, all right, so
yeah, so this
he's
is something
going after this. He is reinforcing and going on this false dichotomy that you're either Israel first or you're a leftist. Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson are on the right. You know, however you define it, they've got to be on the right, unless you define it by support of Israel. And if you support Israel, you're on the right. And if you don't, you're not. And that's the only thing that matters. And that's what Sebastian Gorka is reasserting. And in many ways, it's just a total destruction of language as we know it. What does conservative mean? To me, Sharia law is like the height of conservatism. It's like more conservative than I'm comfortable with. It ain't liberal, that's for sure. We'll cover more on the other side. Stay with us.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all of you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, 5 different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com, because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, and you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile.
You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel any time. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at RealAlexJones.com and TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The signature on the foreword for the strategy document. It's very small at the bottom. I've highlighted it. Hopefully you can see it. Signed and dated at the bottom of the presidential foreword on this document is not just Donald Trump's signature, but the month of May 2026, meaning this document was published publicly for all to see within the last 11 days. It is currently almost the end of May 11th, 2026. And this is the first I am seeing of it because I was doing research for something else. I also want to point out that while all of the foreword is just him talking about how great he is, at the very bottom here, it says our new U.S. counterterrorism strategy, meaning for 2026, is a return to common sense and peace through strength. As I said, after our first successful counterterrorism mission, just days after I was sworn back in office, if you hurt Americans or are planning to hurt Americans, quote, we will find you and we will kill you. While it is a ridiculous, almost exact Liam Neeson from the movie Taken quote, it does apply to what I'm about to show you. Lock in. I'm not going to read this whole document to you. It's very small print. I encourage you to look it up yourself. But I do want to point out that they talk very early on in the document about what the threats are. So they talk about what it was in 2025, and they decide that in 2026, there are three major types of terror groups, and they list them as follows. Number one, narco-terrorism and transnational gangs. Number two, legacy Islamist terrorists. And number three, violent left-wing extremists, including anarchists and anti-fascists. If you will note, that last group is very, very vague. It could include anarchists, it could include anti-fascists, and then it also includes just whoever they determine to be left-wing extremists. So, like, it's very hard to pin down who these people might be. They go on to say that with these three groups, or types of terror groups, as they call them, we can defeat every single one of these groups, but the threat is significant and pervasive. Stay with me. You will find that the language throughout this, when it comes to talking about these quote-unquote left-wing violent extremists, or however they're labeling them, is very, very vague, which I believe is purposefully done. That means they can change the definition whenever they want. They can accuse someone based on a loose-fitting definition that they can ebb and flow and shape into something that they want it to be with each and every individual that they feel is needing to be labeled with such a terrorist label. This is what they say they will do. So it says, in addition to cartels and Islamist terror groups, our national CT activities will also prioritize the rapid identification and neutralization of violent secular political groups whose ideology is anti-American, radically pro-transgender, and anarchist. We will use all the tools constitutionally available to us to map them at home, identify their members, map their ties to international organizations like Antifa, which doesn't make any sense because Antifa is not a thing, and use law enforcement tools to cripple them operationally before they can maim or kill the innocent. We will do the same with the state sponsors of such groups and those governments undertaking lethal plots on U.S. soil or against Americans anywhere. Not only does the individual who is speaking out need to be aware of that language, it reads so vaguely that it could even be applied to midterms. Because if you look at a politician and their platform, they might talk about being pro-LGBTQ, which includes pro-transgender rights and things like that. And then they also talk about the organizations that back them up, such as the state sponsors, what they call them. Could be anyone donating to a campaign or organizing with a campaign. This is not fearmonger content. You can say it is if you want, but I am telling you that this strategic document is outlined this way and is so vaguely written this way that they can choose to do anything that they want to do with law enforcement, as it points out, to the individual, to the political candidate, to the campaign, to the party they feel is wronging them. And as you read through the document, it gets even crazier because then things like this come up. They talk about new and deepening alliances between the far left and Islamists, i.e. the Red-Green Alliance. So they're painting.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We showed you a video of a woman going through the new United States Counterterrorism Strategy 2026. Obviously, she's a leftist and says stuff I don't agree with, like Antifa doesn't exist. It obviously does. You know, it's just the most absurd thing ever. However, her concerns are legitimate, and the overreach capable of being justified by this new strategy is immense and troubling. And it would be different if the Trump administration had shown their willingness to actually protect America from the negative influences that we suffer under. I mean, he declared Antifa a domestic terrorist organization 6 months ago. Nothing's happened at all. They're only doing this for Israel. Yeah, same type of thing. Would I be in favor of the Trump administration, you know, denaturalizing people and deporting, you know, students from universities? I would, except that they're doing it on the basis of their support of Israel. So, you know, when they're like, oh, we're going to go after the LGBT extremist or whatever, half of me is like, yeah, you know, people getting their lives destroyed because they're coerced into thinking they're transgender and, you know, horrible things happen. I'm in favor of that. I don't trust any of it. I don't think it's how it's going to be used. I think it's all a setup, a giant setup. I think it's a scam. And I think that the already existing Israeli control grid here in America is simply being adopted officially by the United States government. And that's extremely terrifying because they call you a terrorist for telling the truth. They call you a terrorist for opposing what America is doing when it comes to what they're doing for Israel. In the statement that we just watched from Sebastian Gorka, he said things that might make you a terrorist or might make you left-wing and not conservative are things like complimenting the level of freedom in places that aren't America. So if you look around America and go, this place sucks because of the policies of the left, and you look at Russia and go, hey, I can ride the Russian subway and not get stabbed, that makes you a terrorist? That makes you a terrorist, according to Sebastian Gorka. Or at least put you under suspicion of it. Which, again, is extremely troubling. If he's calling Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson terrorists because they're talk show hosts that disagree with Donald Trump and don't support America's endless suicidal devotion to the foreign state of Israel, that's insane. That's completely crazy and should not be accepted. And again, it's not just about what the government is capable of doing. It's about the infiltration of our government by these subversive elements that are simply making official the already existent control grid that they operate. So I said this a little while ago, in March of this year, but this gives you an idea of like what's already at work here in America. I said, if you criticize Israel anonymously on X, right, you're an anonymous account, doesn't have your name, nothing associated with you, but you criticize Israel, what happens? Well, the Israeli intelligence unit, 8200, will get your information from the site's back end because they have agents working at X. They'll send it to an organization like Stop Anti-Semitism, who will call your bank and force them to drop you. Stop Anti-Semitism, the Canary Mission, there's dozens of these. If X doesn't comply, then the ADL will organize an advertiser boycott with the biggest corporations in the world to bankrupt them. If you want to sue X for kicking you off or sue your bank account for dropping you, good luck, as Laura Loomer puts it, quote, finding a law firm that doesn't have a Jewish partner. She put that out. She said, if, you know, Tucker Carlson wants to sue, good luck finding a law firm without a Jewish partner, which in and of itself is like very concerning. You're saying that no Jewish person will defend an American for free speech because they have a loyalty that's higher than that? That's not a good admission, but okay, moving on. Even if you manage to secure a lawyer and mount a case against a multi-million dollar pro bono lawyer provided by Jewish interest groups like Stand With Us or the Lawfare Project, Lawfare Project, they actually run a thing called the Lawfare Project. Okay? It's a real thing. It's an Israeli cutout. What is the likelihood that the judge is a proud member of the ZOA, Zionist Organization of America? Right? I doubt mainstream media or your congressman would have much interest in picking up your cause, not with AIPAC as such a valuable ally. This situation might be okay if it weren't for the fact that Israel, the nation state, is working hand in glove with these organizations, which in turn work hand in hand with the United States government. And there are bills being passed in state houses around America quietly outlawing anti-Semitism. So even pointing to this collusion will be punishable by law. At the end of the day, they'll impose digital ID on everyone and use AI to fully integrate all government services, data, entertainment, and the economy and education fully into the BlackRock MassX, that's maximum exploitation mainframe, and simply price you out of opposing them. And then I have to say that for legal reasons, this is pure fantasy because I'm not trying to get sued. But that's just like a small little collection of just like some of the methods that they have employed in the last few years to silence dissidents against their personal ethnostate. So it's like this already exists. Stop Anti-Semitism is already destroying people's lives here in America for their crimes against, you know, crimes of speech. The, you know, Lawyers Guild apparently is operating this way. You've got the Canary Mission. You've got the Lawfare Project. You've got Stand With Us. These things are funded with millions, millions of dollars, and they provide pro bono lawyers, the best in the world, to go argue in favor of censorship in many cases or whatever the, you know, these organizations want to pull off. So this control grid already exists to a very, very powerful degree in a purely private capacity. They're basically trying to codify this and have the U.S. justice system complicit in their tyranny. From the underscore DP underscore show on X, he says, more weaponized Zionist government BS coming to an American like you. Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes have both been named as possible domestic terrorists, according to the Trump administration's top counterterrorism official, Sebastian Gorka. Gorka has signaled that he wants Joe Kent's old position. Joe Kent, of course, who resigned on morals and principles in speaking out against the Israeli government, quote, our greatest ally. Now, why is this weaponized Zionist government BS, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. In February 2017, U.S. Congressman Trent Franks, co-chair of the Israel Allies Caucus, publicly called Sebastian Gorka, quote, the staunchest friend of Israel and the Jewish people. In March of 2017, Sarah M. Stern of the Endowment for the Middle East Truth, EMET, pro-Israel organization, described Gorka as a true friend of Israel and the Jewish people. March through December 2017, ongoing Zionist Organization of America, ZOA, an influential conservative pro-Israel lobbying group, and President Morton Klein forcefully defended Gorka against Nazi ties accusations, calling him a proud American patriot and a faithful friend of the State of Israel and the Jewish people. Gorka later appeared on Klein's program and vice versa. May 2017, Gorka spoke to the Jerusalem Post annual conference to a pro-Israel Jewish audience, framed media attacks on him and Trump administration as backlash for being pro-Israel and friends of Israel, called Israel U.S.'s closest ally, and received cheers and applause. In 2017, Gorka headlined the International Institute for Counterterrorism annual conference at the IDC Herzliya Academic Israeli academic government-adjacent counterterrorism entity, praised the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's analysis on Iran and terrorism. May 24th through 26th, 2019, around APAC policy conference, Gorka spoke at a separate NCSY National Conference for of Synagogue Youth event tied to Israel advocacy during APAC conference in Washington, D.C., described as extremely pro-Israel with a speech on fighting anti-Semitism and supporting Israel's defense. Quote, the peace process is dead. Support Israel so it can defend itself. Students from the Jewish school attended in Israeli advocacy context. 2022. Gorka co-led with Dinesh D'Souza a Stand With Israel tour and trip to Israel via his Salem radio network show. September 25, Gorka delivered a keynote address at ICT 25, Shabbatai Shavit World Summit on Counterterrorism at Reichman University, Israel, hosted by International Institute for Counterterrorism. December 12, 2025, Gorka gave keynote remarks at Hudson Institute's Anti-Semitism as National Security Threat Conference, which is a U.S.-based think tank with strong Israel focus, counterterrorism focus, highlighted U.S.-Israeli ties, embassy moved to Jerusalem, and murdered Israeli embassy staff. 2019 through 2025, media hosting period as host of America First with Sebastian Gorka on Salem Media Group, conservative Christian network, which, by the way, is run by somebody who is a registered foreign agent for Israel. Oh, they get to that. Great. Gorka frequently discussed pro-Israel topics. Salem's chief strategy officer, Brad Parscale's separate Clock Tower X LLC registered under FARA as an agent for the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs to integrate Israeli government messaging into the Salem network properties. There's no direct Gorka Parscale tie or personal payment. In 25 to 26 as national security advisor, as deputy assistant slash senior director for counterterrorism in the National Security Council, Gorka emphasized strong U.S. and Israel counterterrorism operations, e.g. versus Iran slash Hezbollah, participated in CFR conversation and Hudson events praising Israel. What are Tucker and Nick known for? Criticizing the government and state of Israel. This isn't about if Tucker or Nick are right or wrong. This is about the First Amendment. I think he's exactly right. And I think calling out all of these connections to these Israeli First organization lets you know what Sebastian Gorka's real motivation is. And again, understanding that he is, you know, seeking this top counterterrorism position that was previously held by somebody who resigned because of Israel's influence. And this guy is clearly an Israeli agent of some sort or another. And then you have the new counterterrorism strategy, which, as it says, from Ken, as Ken Klippenstein writes, new counterterror strategy eyes Tucker Carlson. The administration deems anti-Trump right-wingers terrorists. Two right-wing figures, Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, have been named by the White House as possible domestic terrorists, according to the Trump administration's top counterterrorism official. Sebastian Gorka, himself a former right-wing influencer turned NSC principal, has been making his rounds on conservative media, explaining the meaning and purpose behind the president's new counterterrorism strategy. Between grandiose monologues about his vision of a crusade to save Western civilization from anti-American and anti-Christian extremism, Gorka let slip that the administration's war on domestic terrorism isn't just aimed at the left. It targets anyone who isn't in line with the broader MAGA agenda. While Trump's National Security Directive NSPM7 explicitly singles out the left with the list of so-called terrorism indicators, many of them could also describe people on the right as well. The new counterterrorism strategy, Gorka's brainchild, identifies three groups as priorities for the administration: narco-terrorists, Islamist terrorists, and violent left-wing extremists. Nowhere in this document does it mention right-wing extremists, and while that may have led those on the right to believe they are immune, Gorka's remarks make clear they are not. Asked by Breitbart editor-in-chief Alex Marlowe if there's any right-wing terror, right-wing extremism threat, Gorka replied by pointing to former Fox News host Tucker Carlson and streamer Nick Fuentes, both of whom have become vocal critics of the Trump administration, arguing they aren't actual conservatives anyway, which is the exchange we just saw. Gorka's charge that Carlson lauds Sharia law is, to put it lightly, ridiculous, because obviously Tucker Carlson is not in favor of Sharia law. He's talking about how these other countries like Japan, Russia, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, people are self-confident when they're really pleased with what they're doing and they believe their system is the right system. That self-confidence results in a kind of welcoming attitude. So you'll be sitting in a dinner at dinner in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and you'll say, you know, I'm just really kind of a pro-Jesus, like I'm a Christian. And they'll be like, that's so great. So again, he's saying that basically the threat of Islam is overthrown. That doesn't mean he is supportive of Sharia law. But I also would point out, like, what does conservative mean? To me, Sharia law, I mean, if you're talking about conservatism in just the dictionary definition of the word, Sharia law definitely ain't liberal. right? And I've gotten crap online about this. I don't know what definition people are using, but I'm like, well, Muslims are conservative. And they're like, you idiot, you think Muslim, you moron. It's like, I'm sorry, they don't let women out of the house. What, do you think they're feminists? You think they're liberals? No, they're against America. They're against Christianity. They don't like white people, obviously. And they're still conservative. That's still a word with a meaning outside of America or outside of our immediate political divide. So I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. Like, if you're in favor of Sharia law, you're probably a conservative person. Doesn't mean you love America, but that's not also what conservative means. Ken Klippenstein continues, I'm an absolutist when it comes to free speech for the right and the left and anyone outside or inside of the spectrum. Gorka, as a government official, has no business sticking his nose into whether people define America the same way he does. But let's be real. None of this is about extremism. It's about the fact that Carlson, like Fuentes, recently broke with Trump bitterly over the Iran war. That's the real offense. And, of course, oppose his action at the behest of Israel. And that's the, you know, counterterrorism thing that's going on, the new strategy that Gorka put together. But it gets crazier. This is from May 8th. Ex-Trump official sounds alarm on doomsday plot White House can exploit. A former official offered a chilling warning of what President Donald Trump could do if he enacts a secret catalog of Cold War era executive orders. A former former official from Donald Trump's first term is sounding the alarm of a so-called doomsday book that could deliver the president unprecedented power if he acts upon it. Miles Taylor, who resigned as Homeland Secretary's chief of staff in 2019, writes that the White House has a secret catalog of pre-drafted executive orders that, if enacted, would allow Trump to do extraordinary things like effectively invoking martial law. The book dates back to Dwight D. Eisenhower's administration, which developed so-called PEADs, Presidential Emergency Action Documents, and gathered them into a single instructional book, only to be opened in an extreme scenario such as a nuclear attack on Washington. The manual was written amid the Cold War with the understanding it should be opened only in an emergency that threatened the future of the United States. However, Taylor writes for the iPaper that there's a real fear in Washington that Trump may misuse these executive orders. The Brennan Center for Justice revealed in 2024 that the secret PADS would grant a president power to detain civilians, suspend communications, censor the press, establish military areas, and freeze or seize property, all with a stroke of a pen. Now, again, this would be the type of thing that, you know, in 2020, we would have celebrated Donald Trump using to crack down on the nightly riots across the entire country by Black Lives Matter. Didn't do that, didn't feel the need to put a stop to any of that. However, what is the likelihood that he invokes something like this or, you know, invokes some of these measures in the name of Israel for the state of Israel, perhaps after a false flag attack? Either an so-called anti-Semitic one, where he says, this is crazy, we have to shut down the whole country, or an attack on by Iran, or whoever else. He has these powers in hand. And of course, when I first heard this, my comment was, he's just waiting for Palantir to get fully installed, right? Palantir is integrating itself into our healthcare and into our welfare system and into, you know, bank transactions and being used by the IRS and just absolutely everybody. And it, of course, is the, you know, control system who the people that run it can't help themselves but constantly, you know, brag about, and sort of they're like vibrating with excitement about the idea that they get to just like kill people with a click of a button, anybody who opposes them. And of course, we know that in Israel, merely disagreeing with them is seen as valid reason to exterminate somebody. How often have we pointed out and have you seen Israeli officials in a house where the entire family has been killed, holding up a copy of something like Mein Kampf and saying, do you see why we did this? Do you see why this was a good thing that we did? Do you see why this is justified now that we killed this whole family? They think bad thoughts. They don't like us. So of course we had to kill them. So that mindset is what's insinuating itself here in America, where if you merely disagree, or if you point out the inconsistencies, or if you illustrate the very connections I'm now elaborating, you're seen not only as anti-Semitic and anti-Israel and a dangerous domestic terrorist, but, you know, worthy of execution. And there's a very real you know, threat of the people in power here in America invoking this sort of thing, since they are the very same people in many cases who are doing it already in Israel. And just understand that when it comes to Israel, as an American, you know, white Christian person, you land on the Palestine line of that dichotomy, according to the people in Israel, right? You might like what Israel is doing. You might, you know, be in support of them. But if you're not one of them, then you're one of us. Okay. You're one of the Palestinians. You're one of the outsiders. Do you see how they treat them? So just so we understand. Sebastian Gorka, of course, celebrated the censorship of everybody, but in particular, Alex Jones in 2018. And I again want to sort of illustrate where this is going with a clip from Larry Fink, head of BlackRock and now president of the World Economic Forum, clip number one here. This is Larry Fink about what he defines as domestic terror and the type of domestic terror that he's worried about raising its head. Let's watch clip number one. Number one.
But now, because of drone warfare, we have to relook at all forms of security and the need for rebuilding the GCC region to rebuild it to so that it's going to be in a position where it's not going to be obstructed by drone warfare. So a lot of many more things are going to have to be underground. But even here in the United States, if we're going to be building, let's say, these 1 gigawatt data centers, how do we make sure we're not protecting those $50 billion, $75 billion investments? We have to relook at everything because of the role of drone warfare. Right now we're looking at it internationally, but, you know, one of my concerns is, could it be a domestic terrorism using a $3,000 drone? So all of these things are actually opportunities, not problems. It's going to require, as we said, trillions of dollars of capital. Governments cannot build these out alone. They don't have the wherewithal. And two, their deficits are started to be mounting. And we spend too little time talking about the U.S. deficits and other countries' deficits. So this is going to all going to be the role of private sector.
Okay. So that's Larry Fink, who at this moment is in China with Donald Trump as an envoy, I guess, for America, if he even pretends to care about us. And he's talking about how the threats to the data center should be treated like domestic terror. That's because the data centers are an integral part of the digital panopticon that's being established right now that will be inevitably turned against people who have not committed a crime but do oppose the state of Israel or do call out the split loyalty of the likes of Sebastian Gorka or even Mike Huckabee, and I'll show you a video from him in just a second. But all of these things are going into place. They are sort of loosening up the definition of domestic terror. They are actually explicitly defining anti-Zionism as anti-Semitism and anti-Semitism as hate speech or violent speech of some sort. An attack, if you, you know, merely disagree with or point out the inconsistencies of the statements made by our greatest ally, so-called. They're building the digital infrastructure to enforce this. You now have not only American politicians and people in power advocating for treating language like a threat, putting in anti-Semitism laws in places like Florida, and enforcing this stuff. It's like all of these various pieces are being slotted together. And once it's in place, that's it. That's it. Because like I said, even talking about the control system is in violation of the strictures of hate speech and anti-Semitism. Oh, Israel is involved in setting up a giant, you know, digital panopticon here in America with the help and advice of pro-Israel slash Jewish organizations here in America. Can't talk about that. That's anti-Semitic. You'll be killed by a drone.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense. And We have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. The people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. Support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. We've got a ton of great products there that can help you to resist the poison that the modern world saturates the human body with. As well as, of course, keeps us on the air and in the fight. And a fight it is. I have an update to Chud the Builder's situation. He was supposed to come on and be interviewed with us at 4, but he was involved in a shooting just before the show went live. And we now have an update. Chud the Builder wounded in self-inflicted shooting outside of Tennessee courthouse. Tennessee District Attorney's Office tells TMZ that Chud the Builder is the suspect and is in police custody. The Montgomery Sheriff's Office announced two individuals involved in the incident, Chud the Builder and an unidentified male, sustained gunshot wounds. They were both hospitalized, and both were listed in stable condition Wednesday afternoon. So that's good. Both men were taken into custody, officials said, describing the incident as a physical altercation that escalated into gunfire. Controversial streamer Chud the Builder was shot Wednesday outside of a Tennessee courthouse just days after his headline-making arrest at a Nashville steakhouse. The influencer, whose real name is Dalton Etherly, claims he was jumped outside of the courthouse, so he says he fired shots in self-defense, accidentally shooting himself during the altercation. He was live-streaming at the time and remained online as he was speaking with emergency personnel in the aftermath of the incident. So again, I still haven't seen the video of that, so I don't know if that live stream went down or what, but if the crew finds that live stream, I would like to play it. But we got a lot to cover here in the meantime, and of course we hope he recovers and isn't too injured, and I'm glad the guy that he shot didn't die. That makes things a little bit simpler, I think. Not a murder charge, but yeah, it did escalate quickly. And the story that we've heard is basically he was attacked by a guy, sucker punched. The guy was hitting him over and over. He fired one bullet during this conflict, so I think grazed his own arm, but shot the guy, and they're both in stable condition. So that's some good news, even though we'd rather not have our guests being shot. But there you go. Prayers for Chud. Prayers up for Chud. Now, I got so many videos to get to in this last segment. Let's just get to them, okay? Let's start with clip 26 here. Or, I'm sorry. This is clip 28. Clip 28. This is a ex-user named Liam Out Loud talking about how the West went completely insane. Let's watch.
If you felt like the Western world has gone insane over the last decade, you're not wrong. The madness has a name. Political Ponderology, the study of how psychopaths take over societies. According to Polish psychiatrist Andrew Lobachowski, psychopaths, sociopaths, and individuals with deep psychological disorders infiltrate institutions, not by merit or integrity, but by their unrivaled ability to lie, manipulate, and destroy. The result is pathocracy, a system ruled by the disordered, where moral, competent, and sane people are pushed out, silenced, or destroyed. Here's how it unfolds. Essential psychopaths rise to the top. Lacking empathy, driven by narcissism, manipulation, and sadism, they view society is a playground of power. In a corrupted system, their evil traits aren't a liability, they're an asset. Schizoids serve as the ideological architects. Detached and theoretical, they create inhuman policies with utopian logic. Lockdowns, depopulation agendas, safe supply drug programs, all coldly detached from their human cost. Spellbinders are the charismatic mouthpieces. Celebrities, pundits, and influencers who captivate the public with slogans about equity and safety, disguising tyranny as compassion. The spellbound are true believers. Hypnotized, these are the foot soldiers of the regime, convinced they're on a moral crusade while defending totalitarianism. Adapted conformists know better, but comply. They just follow orders to keep their jobs, reputations, or social standing, gradually numbing their conscience in the process. The resistors see through it all. They retain empathy and moral clarity, but are hunted, censored, and scapegoated for refusing to kneel. Then there's the bystanders. The majority of the population who are confused or afraid, some slowly adopt the regime's norms just to avoid conflict. Their silence enables the system to metastasize. Look around. Violent criminals are freed while whistleblowers exposing government corruption are harassed and threatened. Kids are taught gender dogma while literacy collapses. Bureaucrats push equity while freezing bank accounts. None of this is accidental. It's the end state of Ponderogenesis. In a pathocracy, truth is treason, insanity is extremism. The system rewards the disorder and punishes the moral. This is not liberalism. It's not progress. It's a psychological coup. Until we recognize that we're not fighting bad ideas but pathological people, we will keep losing ground. This is not left versus right. It's sanity versus madness. And until sanity takes power back, the collapse will continue.
Absolutely. Very well put. And one of the exemplars of this, I would say, is Mike Huckabee, the current ambassador to Israel from America, supposedly, although it could go the other way around. Here's him, not just sort of co-signing what Sebastian Gorka says about Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes being domestic terrorists, but actually getting involved in extrajudicial ways to punish them for their thoughts. Here's the American ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee. Let's watch.
Where he began, essentially, was to accuse the president of Israel, our mutual friend, yeah, Isaac Herzog, one of the most honorable and decent men,
truly
in,
one of
the country.
Nicest people ever.
Yeah. Tucker accused him of being in league with Jeffrey Epstein into going to this pedophile, sexual deviant island. He called it Pedo Island. This was a brutal attack, and you called him on it, and he kept pressing you. Is it? Mm-hmm. Why, how do you not even know this? As a father, yeah. as a husband, as an ambassador to protect the American people, why aren't you calling out President Herzog for him being in league with Jeffrey Epstein? He said, "Will you call him? Will you confront him?"
Yeah.
You did call.
I did.
The president. What was the response?
Well, the response was that the date that he, Tucker, claimed President Herzog was on Pedo Island, he was actually speaking in front of 1,000 people in Tel Aviv. So his alibi is pretty ironclad. More importantly, he'd never met Epstein, didn't know who he was. I mean, he heard of him. I strongly have suggested that President Herzog should sue Tucker Carlson. And what happened after that, when it became evident that Tucker was totally wrong, Tucker pulled that segment out of his interview. He apologized. But the damage is done.
Yeah.
And I still hope that President Herzog, because it's one thing to...
You still hope that he sues?
I really do, because the only reason that people change the kind of really evil behavior that Tucker is doing when he accuses people of being a pedophile is when there's accountability and there are consequences for doing those sort of things.
The First Lady of France is suing Candace Owens for constantly calling her
a man. Ridiculous.
It's just insane.
Absurd. It is
absurd. You can disagree with the Macrons on some, but this has become libel and slander and legally
actionable. A level of defamation I feel like worthy of a lawsuit, because if people like Candace or Tucker can be held accountable for the outrageous things they do and say that hurt people and hurt their reputations and hurt their livelihood, then maybe others will be forewarned not to be so outrageously incorrect and vicious.
So there's the ambassador, the American ambassador to Israel, saying that he encouraged foreigners to sue Tucker Carlson, even though Tucker Carlson apparently got something wrong and apologized for it. I'm not sure. I don't even know the details of this, but because as I was listening to it, I was like, well, it just sounds like he got the wrong president. It was Ehud Barak that was intimately tied in to Jeffrey Epstein and in all of the emails. Maybe just got the wrong person. Regardless, he like apologized. He's like, oh, okay, it wasn't him. Sorry, that was my bad. I'll take it out of my broadcast. And Huckabee's like, it's not good enough. He should still be sued. But it looks like this may have been the cause of it. Times journalist posted AI-generated picture of Isaac Herzog and Jeffrey Epstein. So Gabrielle Sivia, how do I pronounce that? Yeah, I'm not going to say that. I don't know why. What did you call me? Okay. A journalist for UK-based Times apologized after posting a fake AI-generated photo showing Israeli President Isaac Herzog with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. So maybe he just fell for some fake news, but apparently, according to Mike Huckabee, you should be destroyed over that, because how dare you? How dare you do that? So again, he, just like Sebastian Gorka, it's like, it's not about, oh my God, he got the wrong Israeli president, you know, and then apologized for it. It's seen as evidence of like terroristic mindset or something from these people. So these are the types of psychopaths that we have running things, who are encouraged in their psychopathy by the other psychopaths. You know, the people that don't see their fellow human beings as human beings, the people that Jeffrey Epstein would email and casually drop terms like goy, dehumanizing all those who aren't Jewish, you know, that type of extremist Jewish supremacist rhetoric that they just throw about casually, you know, not exactly, temporizing their language because it's not polite in polite company. No, they all are on the same page. They all talk like this behind the scenes because they're all psychopaths that elevate themselves above the rest of humanity, and they think it gives them the right to control us, and if we resist, dispatch us. So that's the real concern I have right now, not the people like Tucker Carlson simply talking about that and pointing that out. So that's the American ambassador. And all of this, of course, from Larry Fink talking about the AI centers being targeted by people and that potentially being domestic terrorism. So, I mean, they're literally setting it up to where, opposing the control grid is seen as terrorism, and the control grid itself will be activated to crush you. It's protecting itself, and they're setting up these tripwires to ensure their continued control. Let's go now to clip 30. This is brilliant analyst Matt Kim talking about how AI data centers are, in fact, the backbone and the infrastructure for the control grid that's being implemented right now. It ain't about sharing videos on Twitter. It ain't about doing AI creations. It's actually being built by the U.S. military for integration into the global surveillance control panopticon. Let's go to clip 30.
Trending in the news right now is the taking of people's land and homes to make room for data centers and the infrastructure required to support them. Especially here in Georgia, this is becoming a big issue. Families losing their longtime homes to make way for expanding electricity lines to power these monstrosities. And to understand what we're dealing with, I think it's important to understand how we got here. Because this isn't just a zoning fight. This is what happens when AI infrastructure becomes a national priority. Immediately after Trump returned to office, the administration announced Project Stargate, $500 billion of investment into AI infrastructure and data centers throughout the country. Then ICE and DHS starting rolling through cities, picking up illegals. And I told you I don't like the idea of mobilizing federal power inside American cities. But you said, damn right, it's worth it because it's for our safety. And then a year later, the United States went into Venezuela, took their leader, and opened the door for American oil interests. And you said, damn right, we're America. We can do what we want. Over the last year, we normalized the idea of government overreach, as long as it was aimed at someone else, as long as it was framed as safety, as long as it was framed as national interest, as long as it was framed as America winning. You were okay with it. Now, Trump talks about how much foreign countries and companies are investing into America. Well, nearly $2 trillion of that investment is for AI, data centers, energy infrastructure, chips, and computing power. Trump talks about how the U.S. tech companies have committed new money to the American economy. Well, that $3 trillion is also tied to AI and the data centers required to feed it. This isn't just some private side project. This is Trump's industrial and economic policy. It's framed as a new global arms race. And when something becomes a national priority, local consent becomes secondary. I see people in conservative counties now making pleas to the government and politicians asking for help, saying this isn't right. They can't just take our land. They can't destroy our community. But the exact people you're begging for help are the same people who tied their own success to these data centers. The politicians, the utilities, the developers, the economic development class, the people standing behind the podiums bragging about investment numbers, those are the same people you are now asking to save you. And that's why when the entire county doesn't want them, they happen anyway. They are not ignoring you because they don't hear you. They are ignoring you because this was already decided. Because the people you thought were working in your interest sold you out long ago. The machine you cheered for when it was pointed at someone else hits different when it's pointed at your own property line.
Very well said by Matt Kim. He says they're not ignoring you because they can't hear you. They're ignoring you because it's already been decided. Foreign capital, tech companies, infrastructure policy. And of course, this is all geared towards AI, and AI itself, as we know from the likes of Jonathan Greenblatt, is already, you know, being dictated to what it's supposed to believe and what it's supposed to suppress. They say, you know, the ADL has agents inside and working with and, you know, exercising authority over OpenAI and Claude and absolutely every AI, as they do in every social media company. So this is about suppressing information that could prevent their plan from coming to fruition. And of course, you need all of this server space. You need all of these data centers to handle the amount of data that will be collected when we all have digital ID and the Internet of Things is constantly spying on us. Obviously, digital ID is being insinuated into everyday life in a variety of different ways. Usually it's, you know, age restrictions on social media or YouTube or anywhere else. But of course, the King of England yesterday made a direct statement about digital ID. Let's go now to that clip.
My ministers will also proceed with the introduction of digital ID that will modernize how citizens interact with public services.
Mm-hmm. How they interact with public services or private services, or whether you're allowed to remain anonymous online, because so much of this is focused on silencing people's ability to speak out, making sure that anything you say is directly related to you, because they're building a social credit score network. And of course, the propaganda to go along with it. We know that Israel, the country, dedicated $500 million last year to the propaganda front, $700 million this year to the propaganda front. And this, of course, is being joined by the likes of Alexander Soros, which, going by the dichotomy supported by Sebastian Gorka and Ambassador Huckabee and all the other Israeli first politicians, Alexander Soros would represent the height of conservatism, right? Because he's paying money to propagandize and censor people against Israel, and that's the only thing that matters. So staunch conservative Alex Soros just donated a whole bunch of money through the Open Society Foundation, clip number 20. Here's him announcing that.
Hi, I'm Alex Soros. As the son of a Holocaust survivor and a Jew, I am acutely aware of the dangers of anti-Semitism. I'm also proudly married to a Muslim American. Discrimination and hate aren't abstract concepts to me or my family. They're deeply personal and have been persistent throughout our lives. Today, the Open Society Foundations are committing $30 million to organizations fighting anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim hate around the United States and across the world. At a moment like this, we need to stand together and act. This investment is about keeping people safe and pushing back against hate.
Yeah, not anti-Christianism, I guess. With Trump on the rampage, Alex Soros takes control of his father's empire. What will he do with his influence? I don't know, embarrass himself and look like an idiot and perpetuate the anti-Christian hate that all of this is actually focused towards. But here's my thing. I don't think that I want to see where this money's going, because I have an idea. Like, if I was them, I wouldn't be trying to like publish stories that are like good about Israel. Like, I wouldn't stick with the typical methods by which they supposedly fight against quote unquote anti-Semitism. It would more be in line of like putting out stories that get people used to the idea of being spied on all the time, or like, is it going towards anti-Semitism? Like, you're going to actually go, stop people that are calling for the, murder of Jews? Or is this going to be used to manufacture consent for the digital control grid being imposed on the basis of anti-Semitism? I have to wonder. And of course, I love how he calls George Soros a Holocaust survivor. It's like, he's a Holocaust survivor. Flashback. And it's just, get in the train car. Get in the train car, Jew. And he's just like, that's what he did. Everybody knows that, right? George Soros literally helped to confiscate Jewish possessions as they were loaded into train cars and shipped to the East. That's how he survived the Holocaust. So good thing he got away. Let's go to clip number 20 now, because this is where it all, coalesces together and tells you what this is really all about. And I'm running out of time. So let's just go to clip number 2 here. This is Canada's version of Warren Buffett. His name's Bruce Flatt. He's the CEO of Brookfield Corporation. And here's what he has to say. This is where this all goes. This is what all of this is about. All of the censorship, all of the DHS, ICE, the quick reaction forces that they're there to stop domestic uprisings and the domestic terror, new counterterrorism plan. It has nothing to do with terror. It's about establishing the control grid to dictate your thoughts and what you're allowed to believe and what you're allowed to say and where you're allowed to go. And if you disobey them, they can kill you. That's the establishment they're trying to create. Here's them kind of admitting it. Let's watch.
We've been, and we still are, and for the next 10 years we will be, rewiring the global economy to lay the networks that we laid before, which were highways, utilities, railways, and now we're laying cloud, artificial intelligence factories, and data centers. And that, on the fundamental basis, that's what's happening. So there will be $10 trillion from power, AI, factories, data centers, and fiber build out laid to basically rewire the world for the new
economy. So that's the World Economic Forum head sitting next to Canada's Warren Buffett as they talk about rewiring the world, which is exactly what BlackRock has been doing. We have to force behaviors, ESG. I mean, they are the font of the censorship, the ESG, the foreign offshoring, the no longer hiring white men. It all comes from them. They commit these crimes. They get away with them for some reason because they're rewiring the world so that like ownership is ended and you will own nothing and you will be happy. That's actually what they're going for. And people don't understand what the end goal of this is. Here's the secret. Let's watch clip 26.
Okay, I want to talk about one of the biggest, actually the biggest discovery of all humankind is happening right now, and I don't think anybody is talking about it. I don't know why, so I want to talk about it in this video. It is bigger than the Industrial Revolution. It is bigger than the advent of the internet. It is bigger than Amazon. Is it bigger than Apple? It's bigger than the iPhone, Google, social media. It is bigger. It is bigger than AI, and it's happening right now. Nobody's talking about it, and it is, in actuality, the fountain of youth has been discovered, and I want to talk about it. So in 2016, a researcher, last name Yamanaka, I can't remember his first name, I believe it was 2016, discovered these proteins that essentially reverse the damage of DNA. And so I want to talk about a little bit of biochemistry for a second so you can understand exactly what's going on, and it's going to blow your mind how this is all put together. So basically, right, in every single one of our cells, we have a copy of our DNA. And part of that DNA then codes for certain proteins in each cell. So like the eyeball cell codes for different proteins than the skin cells, then codes for different proteins in the hair, follicle cells, all that stuff. So, but during when we live, right, we encounter lots of damage to our DNA. And so the DNA gets changed over time. It gets damaged. But we also, our bodies are pretty good at...
All right, so again, he goes on about this, but essentially he's explaining that aging in humans is the reality, what it actually functionally is the deconstruction of DNA over time as it replicates itself imperfectly. And they have found that they can actually put a chemical on a cell and then revert it to a stem cell. And then they found if they put less of that chemical, it still reverts, but not all the way back. And they have actually successfully reversed aging in things like mice and monkeys, to where old gray-haired, wrinkly monkeys, they lose the wrinkles, they lose the gray hair, and they de-age. Why is this not being reported? Because they don't want you to know about it until they get the control system in place. The people in power think that they are on the cusp of immortality, of anti-aging. They think they're going to live forever. So they are frantically building the data centers to be the infrastructure needed to control a population and live forever. They're setting up the permanent global government as we speak. And that's why they're so insistent and frantic and doing it so quickly, because they want to live forever and they don't want to wait to take the Fountain of Youth potion. That's what it's all about.
Huge new mega sale, and it's a fundraiser for the new network. We need your support. Plus, the products are incredible. Up to 40% off on methylene blue tincture and methylene blue caps. We have the best. You're insane if you don't take it. Ultra DNA Revival, that has all of the super nutrients in it that supercharge your whole body, like NAD, you name it. Up to 35% off methylene red tincture, the bovine colostrum, the MK Ultra brain booster, 30% off all apparel. There's not much market for the apparel. So that is a huge deal. Shirts, hats, hoodies, with the widest selection, thealexjonesstore.com. I need your support. Ultra Methylene Blue Gummies, the first run, they're super strong. It's even stronger than, it's the same company, but the way they make it, it's really concentrated when it goes into the gummy. 58% off, that's about to end. And it goes on and on and on. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And finally, the sister site of TheAlexJonesStore.com, RealAlexJones.com. They just hold back. It's a sister site because we kept it separate from InfoWars. That was the site that went to just build the fledgling Alex Jones Network. And so they always hold back 10% of inventory, where it's coins or knives or collectible, you know, limited edition t-shirts or Faraday bags.
they hold it back. So there's only a few hundred left of the five different designs, limited edition, laser engraved, World War II, but updated modern, skull crusher, brass knuckles, 10-inch, double-edged, stainless steel, razor sharp. Your last chance to get those at an incredibly low price, only $79. These knives are like $100-something in stores. TheAlexJonesStore.com doesn't have them, only RealAlexJones.com. And there's other deals that are only at RealAlexJones.com, so be sure to take advantage of that and check it out. If something's sold out, The Alex Jones Store, check out RealAlexJones.com. Hour number two, straight ahead. Show the live feeds now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.